If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
We can't come to the phone right now because we're too gay.
That isn't good for you.
Ready to get this party going on?
I think, frankly, you're out of line with that question.
Good morning. Good morning. Fabulous. Outstanding. Wonderful. Terrific. Good morning. Yeah. Good morning.
What's up, Kevin B?
All right. Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man.
It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you.
Our city hall, folks. The people love him.
Yeah. Dean, if I could just have you stop talking altogether, that would be great. Okay.
Ooh. Arsenio Hall is here. Looking good.
Oh, Bean. I wish I knew how to quit you. Oh, that's tight.
Let's let it breathe. You don't create a fine wine and then drink it right out of the grape bucket.
Oh, Bean. Yeah, Bean. Oh, God, Bean.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana is delicious.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Please.
Roll another one. Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
Oh, yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
What are you talking about?
Roll another one.
Oh, hi. Did you want to buy some drugs?
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about.
Pretty f***ed up right now. Shouldn't I be?
No.
I think you do, Mom.
And now.
1, 2, 3. Bad boy. 4, 5, 6. B.I.G.
Our feature presentation.
Yeah, that's from Diddy. P. Diddy.
Uh-huh.
Diddy. Before he goes on stage. 1, 2, 3, bad boy. That's his deal. We have to explain that every once in a while.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because why would they know?
And why would we play Diddy, really?
I don't know.
5:33. Good morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, the 16th of March. Chicka-pow-pow.
Want to go right down to Long Beach and check in with Sam and see how he's doing on setting the Guinness Book of World Records for haircuts in 24 hours?
Well, that, he didn't.
He should still be working on it,
well,
though.
Sure.
He should be in the home stretch. He should be getting close to being finished right now, I would imagine. He's
in a perfect world, he would be a half hour away, right? But,
To 245? 248? I mean, how close is he?
It didn't really go as planned. He got to 40. And then the complaints started coming in about how bad the hair was.
And girls started crying.
And then when girls started crying, we thought, well, this isn't good.
We can't have that.
Look, if I quit everything I do every time girls start crying, then I'd never be able to finish anything.
Yeah, good well, point. That's true. You've learned to ignore it. But for us, it's really bad.
Yeah. Well,
so we had to call it yesterday. And
you mean girls showed up for a 5-minute haircut from a retard and then complained how bad it was? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
What kind of expectations do women have these days? Guys, do what we do on this show. Start settling in your life.
Yes, it's very important that you learn your place in life is nowhere near where you thought it was.
You need to lower your expectations. How many times have we told you that over the years?
Lower your standards? Lower your expectations.
You will save yourself so many disappointments if you just don't expect good things to happen to you. Don't go into that situation and expect a good hair. You're not going to walk out looking like you're ready for your wedding, okay?
No,
this is not going to happen.
But it'd be good if you didn't walk out like, a war
like
camp victim or someone who's been locked up in an asylum for 10 years. That'd be good, too.
There does have to be a happy medium someplace.
Yeah, come on.
And I don't think Sam was reaching it.
So yeah, maybe that's it.
Is that your final choice in eyewear? Or is it
These
still
are my new
fluid?
Glasses. What are you talking about?
Is it still fluid?
It is his final choice.
These
is.
Are my brand new glasses. I just got them yesterday. Right. Now you hate these too?
No, I didn't say I hated them. I'm just asking if that's your final choice. That's all.
I don't think I understand. I think they're fine. I think the temporary is that I had to buy because I lost mine. I could understand making fun of.
Yeah,
those
were
pretty
bad.
Lame.
Those glasses. Those glasses are sweet, Bean. If you
these are okay,
if you
right?
Sing for Weezer.
Hey, you know I prefer bigger glasses, but I went into the Lens Crafters because there's any place that I could get them done in time before vacation.
Right.
And there's no such thing as the bigger glasses anymore. It's not in style now. All the glasses are smaller. You know. And I didn't want anything ridiculously tiny like the ones that Preston Burke wears on Grey's Anatomy, those little grainy glasses.
Oh,
I didn't want something like that.
Yeah.
So this was the best I could do was just get them a little bit bigger. But I can see. That's the important thing.
I like the choice. I'm just checking to see if it's the final choice so I can be happy or not be happy. I don't know.
I think this is what I'm going with for right now, yes.
Okay. All right.
Now let's talk about your hair color.
It's a bold choice.
Good point.
Do you remember the Lisa Loeb video from about 10 years ago?
Yeah.
That's what Bean looks like.
Okay. Yeah. He does, doesn't he? Bean Loeb.
Well, maybe I'm in Weezer. Maybe you don't know. Maybe I've got an announcement
awesome?
To make later.
Wouldn't that be awesome if Bean got up on stage and started singing with Weezer?
Wow.
Oh, my God. You we had no idea.
That would rule.
I'd love to be in Weezer.
You didn't tell us you were in Weezer.
I'm their new bass player.
There's a reason I watch the Jimmy Kimmel Show, and that's because he's got a staff of people watching TV. And he found a news story that I am in love with. This guy in Colorado was calling the police, and I'm not sure when this was. You might have already heard about this, Bean, but he was calling the police and taunting them about how drunk he was while driving.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
And you can hear him asking them where they are and telling them that he's drunk and driving and just taunting them the entire night. Here's the news from that guy.
The words of a confessed drunken driver could be used against him. Colorado police say he used the streets as his drunken playground.
What is your name?
I don't know. I'm too hammered to know right now, man.
I'm too hammered to know right now.
Nice.
I'm so drunk, I don't know my name.
Just wondering what's going on, man. I mean, I hope you guys are having fun,
because
I am.
Police say that Alexander Craig called 911 at least six times, taunting police and playing a dangerous game of cat and mouse.
Yeah, I'm drunk and I'm driving at the same time heading down South Academy. I come on down here and I still ain't got nothing from you fools.
Wow.
I called earlier and I still ain't got nothing from you fools. That's funny right up till when he gets caught. And then he's just a douche. Because now they have all the tape from the 911.
That's awesome.
Right. So that's going to be used against him.
How'd they find him?
I don't know. They didn't say, but they had him in custody.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. That guy right there is the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
Love it.
Very, very smart to work your life that way. All right. On today's Kevin and Bean Show, it's Friday, so we have the movie beat. Ralph will be here to tell you about all the new movies.
Okay.
Boss Rutan is going to be here.
Oh.
He's the owner of the L.A. Anacondas. And when we have him on, we're going to have Dave, the King of Mexico, come in and tell him how stupid that name is.
We're going to have Dave do it?
Yeah, because Dave was saying that in the office yesterday.
Oh,
whoa,
right.
Whoa, anaconda. Why do they say anaconda? There's no anacondas in L.A.
Well, there's no lakes in L.A. either, by the way. But nobody seems to have a problem with the Lakers.
Well, we're going to bring in Dave when Boss is here and just find out how things are going for him.
We should mention he's with the IFL, which is that's what the L.A. Anacondas are part of that league, of that International Fighting League. And it's apparently it's coming on strong, right, Mike? I mean, that's is.
Yeah, the popularity is really rising on that. It's like another division of mixed martial arts, which is just huge right now.
And will he take good to Dave's telling him that that's a dumb name, or will he beat his ass?
Well, normally a guy like Boss Rutan, who's, you know, lives for violence, might kick a guy's ass. But once he sees Dave's physique, he might back up.
That's
you know
true.
What I'm saying?
That's true. That's,
he might just step off.
It's very intimidating.
Yeah.
So Dave's really the only one that could pull that off right face to face. Also on today's show, in about a half hour, we're going to talk to Dave, who's the creator of VoteForTheWorst.com. This is the website that's trying to speed the downfall of American Idol, which I applaud heartily. And they want you to vote for the worst candidate and keep them on. And this year it's that Sanjay. Am I saying that right?
Sanjaya, right.
Sanjaya, okay. I don't watch the show, but I'll vote for him. If he's the worst, I'll vote. Also on today's show, we have a surprise guest. Bean has booked somebody and has not told us all.
Fantastic.
Makes us all very, very nervous.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Julian McMahon's on the show today.
Yum.
He's in that new movie, Premonition, which opens today. I can't figure out if he's dead. Is he not dead? How long is he in the shower?
I think
what
that's the point of the movie.
Well, tell me. I'm not going
to
go if he's dead.
Go and see.
So does he die?
I don't know.
Well, then I don't want to go. Frank Caliendo is here.
Mm-hmm.
He does our John Madden and a bunch of other impressions. We got him on the program today. We're going to talk about the Psychiatry and Industry of Death Museum. That's a good time right there.
Yeah.
Sure.
And we will give you an update on the Armenian comedian and what the hell's going on with him, because things happened quickly yesterday, and not in a good way.
What a surprise.
So we'll update you.
We had to be done with him by 6 o'clock this morning so that we can start broadcasting live for Drink Boxing anyway.
Nope.
So
also
just worked out.
Also what? Canceled. Yeah, the man.
I got to get some sort of a schedule.
Shut down by the man. For those of you that were expecting Drink Boxing, for some reason, we had to run it by the California Association of
Amateur Boxers
yeah. or something like that. And
they have to sanction it.
It turns out they didn't find it funny that the guys would be drinking between rounds. To them, that seemed bad. To
no
us,
sense of humor.
To us, that's perfect. We thought we created a new sport. I figured it would just take off.
Yeah, like they the UFC, this one in the bud.
Like the UFC has. I figured there'd be drink boxing all over the land. But no, they don't think it's funny, and they're not going to sanction it, and we can't do it. Freaking man, I'll tell you. Coming down on us. And at 7:15 this morning, spring break in Norway. Woo! Woo! Nine Inch Nails, you're on the standby boarding list already all week long. You get the new CD, Year Zero, and the DVD beside you in time. And then at 7:15 this morning, we are going to do the grand prize drawing. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Did he ever hit her over the head with her fake leg?
No, it doesn't say that he did that. But look, McCartney is such a...
he's a pacifist.
Exactly. He feels guilty eating tofu,
yes.
You know?
Did he ever hit her with her own leg? Did someone just say that?
I just asked that 5 seconds
ago. I was watching the news. We have to turn that off.
My God.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Okay.
I know I heard it somewhere.
I remember the day that happened. That was the look of surprise on Kevin's face after he said it and saw everybody looking at him was priceless, because then he thought, oh, really?
It was like everybody had just seen the Virgin Mary in their waffle or whatever, you know, and they were just looking at me like, how could you possibly say that? And I knew someone else had just said it. So
that was classic. Kevin cannot have the TV on during the show. That's the new rule.
Oh, sorry.
I get easily distracted. That's my problem.
It is 5:51 on the Kevin and Bean Show. The people that are screwing with American Idol like nobody's business, and I want to find out how many votes they think they're generating, because it has to be an awful lot to affect the total number of people that are calling in. But we're going to talk to them, votefortheworst.com, just after 6 o'clock this morning. It's Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show, 5:52. Ralph Garman has joined us. Ralph, were you able to get the smell of Sam off you yesterday?
I had to burn everything.
Really?
Clothes? My car? My house?
Wow, your house.
Yeah, it's bad news.
Wow. Ralph spent the day with Sam yesterday and had a great time.
I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
Well, luckily he was busy, because he was cutting hair, so he wasn't nearly as annoying to me as he could have been.
Right. Yeah.
But he was still pretty annoying. You guys missed the best, though, after the whole thing got shut down.
Uh-oh.
Someone came up to him and said, you know, what happened? He goes, woman has been trying to ruin man since 9/11.
Nice.
What?
9/11?
Don't ask me. Don't ask me. That was my favorite quote of the day.
Woman
has been trying to ruin man since 9/11.
Well, you remember all those women hijacked those planes, Ralph, and flew into those buildings, remember?
Yes, he does have a point.
Yeah. I think we might have to talk to him today about that and see what he meant.
That's
the best thing I've ever heard.
I was torn, because I wanted to say, what does that mean? At the same time, that means engaging in conversation with Sam. You don't want to do that, so.
Yeah,
I opted out.
That's spectacular, even for Sam.
Yeah.
He was on fire this week.
He was.
5:53, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
The hottest blondes in Hollywood. New list has been released by In Touch magazine. The top 10 hottest blondes in Hollywood.
There's only one person I will accept at number one, but I'm curious to hear what your list is.
I'm curious to know who you will accept.
Well, Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, that's
of course.
No question about that.
Seventh,
Seventh on the list.
Bogus.
Who put the list out?
Bogus. In Touch magazine.
In Touch.
Charlize Theron.
Keebler.
Charlize Theron isn't even on the top 10.
Keebler.
Bogus. Which is unacceptable
BS.
For me.
Stacey Keebler?
Stop with Keebler with you in the background.
Nope.
No, there's no Keebler.
Right, Scarlett Johansson,
Paris
7.
Hilton isn't on it.
No, of course she is, Lisa.
What?
Number 8.
What?
Oh,
she's...
No,
she's
Charlize Theron
isn't?
Yeah.
Then forget the list.
Yeah. I say we go to In Touch magazine, we burn their building down.
The list is bad. Well, we don't need to burn down the building because...
Why not? Why don't you commit to a cause, man?
Ralph's been burning stuff since yesterday at 10 a.m.
That's right. Feels good to burn.
How about Reese Witherspoon?
Reese Witherspoon,
oh,
number
God,
two
no.
on the list.
What?
Oh, she two. Is on the list. Okay.
What?
Two on the list.
Good Lord, who's number one?
What?
Kevin, okay, do the list.
Kevin thinks she looks like a dude, by the way.
She kind of looks like a dude.
No, she doesn't. Have you seen her? She looks even better now. She's lost some weight, and she's got a new hairdo. She looks very sexy.
Yeah.
All right, here's the list. Top 10 blondes in Hollywood, In Touch magazine. Gwen Stefani.
No.
Number 10.
I don't think so.
Number 10, Gwen Stefani.
I think she's hot.
I think she's hot.
She's attractive, yeah.
Top
very
10?
Much so.
She's way sexy. She's even sexier than she is hot in terms of attractiveness.
Yeah, so she's got tremendous style, and she knows how to carry herself. She's a total package.
Number 9, Heidi Klum.
Sure.
Okay.
That's the way they say it back in the old country. Klum.
They say it in the old country.
Klim. Yes. No, they
I'm
say,
sorry.
They
Dean?
Say Clem if you're Inspector Clouseau from the Pink Panther movies.
I see. Okay.
Paris Hilton, as I mentioned, number 8.
Ridiculous.
Bogus.
Scarlett Johansson, number 7.
Stupid.
Gwyneth Paltrow is number 6.
Oh!
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
That's
oh, for God's sake.
That is ridiculous.
Hotter than Scarlett Johansson?
That's what they claim.
Ridiculous.
Yep. That's so stupid.
Yeah.
Number 5, Pamela Anderson. Pamela. Number 5. Number 4. Hayden Panettiere.
Well,
hold on. We forgot about her.
All
right, now we're happy.
Yeah, number 5.
17.
Is she 17 yet? Still 17?
No.
Oh,
time go faster. Number 3, Kate Hudson.
No.
Come on.
No,
I don't
no,
think so.
No.
She's
no,
cute,
no.
but she's not hot.
Number 2, Reese Witherspoon, as
no.
I mentioned. Number 1.
Gosh, who's left?
It's
blonde.
It's not Britney.
No.
Sienna Miller.
Bald Britney.
No.
That's a good guess.
No.
We're out.
TV, movies, music.
Music.
Music. Music.
Music, blonde. Christina Aguilera. Christina Aguilera.
Yeah. Number one. Number one hottest blonde in Hollywood.
Boobs.
Yeah.
That's a terrible list. That list blows.
It's not a terrible list in
I mean,
in
there's
toto,
some good people
as they say.
On
yeah,
it.
All people on the list, they say, you know, they're okay people, but you're right. In terms of the people who have been left off and in terms of the ranking, it is
crazy bad.
Questionable at best. Speaking of Christina Aguilera, she wants everyone to know she's not just a little Pop-Tart anymore.
Okay.
She says she's not the same little girl that we saw shaking her belly and Genie in a Bottle and Dirty. She says now she thinks of herself first and foremost as a wife.
Okay.
And as a sexual beast.
A sexual beast.
She says she has an overconfidence when it comes to sex because she feels so empowered by what she does and loves being in control of every facet of her life. And that's what makes her an insatiable sexual animal.
Yeah.
Boy, that's the luckiest ugly guy on the planet Earth, her husband.
Yeah, except
have you seen him?
Oh.
No, I
when
haven't.
Mike pointed out that he was not necessarily an attractive guy, I did a little research to look for pictures. It's comical.
Really?
Looks like someone drew him. He's got giant ears, a big nose, he's sort of just out of sync. His whole face is just sort of wrong. It's just odd. It's disturbing to me now.
Why is she with him? What's that story, Bean? What's that story? Is he
don't
her
know.
Manager or something? No?
Don't know. It's wrong, though.
It's very wrong. Looks like Hilary Swank's getting ready to marry again. Star Magazine reports that her and her boyfriend, John Campisi, are inseparable, and Hilary's recently said she would like to have kids and then teach them how to box. No.
I don't.
No,
she doesn't think she said that.
So it looks like this is a serious relationship, and Chad's going to just cry, which is sad.
Yes, he is.
You guys know the actress Yancey Butler?
No.
She was in a TV series called Witchblade.
Yeah, I know who she is.
Very attractive girl. Striking bright blue eyes.
Yeah.
She's not the one who had that awful mugshot a couple years ago where she was all on crack and stuff and looked really, really bad.
No, I think Yasmin Bleeth, I think, perhaps you think.
Okay, yeah. This is different. Yancy Butler, right.
Yancy Butler, very attractive actress, popped again for driving under the influence.
Oh.
This time in Connecticut. She's, this is several times for her now. She was nabbed for driving in the wrong lane of traffic. Mm. That's the worst way to call attention to yourself, I think.
Yeah.
You're going to be popped for DUI.
Going the wrong way, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Crossing the line and traveling in the opposite direction.
Yeah, don't do that. It's
no danger there. Buddy.
Regis Philbin's recovering after triple bypass surgery Wednesday in New York City.
Is he still alive?
Regis?
Yeah.
Dude, he's alive and kicking, my friends. He apparently is already feeling great and flirting with the nurses, according to his co-host Kelly Ripa. So, Regis doing well. It's major surgery, but still.
I don't know a 76-year-old on or off television who has the kind of energy and vitality and as together as Regis Philbin.
Thank you, Bean! So much for the bean.
So much for the bean, huh?
Yeah. And Heather Mills. I want to punch her right in the head.
Well, she's hateable.
She says she still loves her soon-to-be ex-husband, Sir Paul McCartney.
Oh, yeah,
really?
Sure.
After all she said.
That's why she tried to destroy him in the public.
Didn't she call him crazy?
Yes, and he
abuser. And a wild abuser.
He made me use a bedpan. He wouldn't let me use a bedpan in bed. Made me crawl to the bathroom on one leg and all
that. F her.
Yeah. She said, he's the father of my child, and I'll always have strong feelings for him. But she said, there's a huge agenda trying to destroy me and put me down.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Saying apparently Sir Paul and his legal team are trying to make her look bad in public.
Well, what a surprise.
Well, her legal team's trying to make him look bad, too. Look, obviously, you marry a Beatle, he's going to have the upper hand in the PR wars, okay? And I mean, but she hasn't done herself any favors with some of the things she's done and said.
Look, I agree. She's made things very difficult for herself. In Touch magazine says that Britney Spears now is fighting to get out of rehab.
Well, didn't she just walk out of rehab like 3 times?
Yeah.
Well, how hard does she have to fight?
I don't know. Maybe this time they've got her chained down or something.
Probably have the compound, you know, secured by security guards.
Here's the reason why she's panicking. According to In Touch magazine, Britney believes that Kevin Federline is starting to get too close with his ex, Shar Jackson.
But
because he's spending a lot of time with her and their 2 kids together.
Oh, damn him.
Britney has told Kevin she doesn't want Shar around Kevin or her kids. But yeah. Kevin wants all the kids to play together and to be a family from both baby mamas. But she's fighting to get out of rehab because she thinks she has to control that situation.
Who would have ever thought we'd live long enough to see a day where somebody's complaining that Kevin Federline is spending too much time with his kids?
I know.
I mean, really?
That doesn't make any sense.
The world's turned upside down, Ralph.
What's that guy doing? Let's take a look at celebrity birthdays, shall we? Jerry Lewis, one of my favorite comedians of all time. Not just a comedian, a humanitarian.
Certainly.
A entrepreneur. A man of impeccable moral character.
Mm-hmm.
And someone who has a high standing in the international community, which
that's
I
correct.
Would do nothing to besmirch.
Exactly.
And that'd be good, because if you did besmirch...
He would be very upset.
There would probably be some kind of legal action.
There would have to be some sort of settlement.
Yes.
Yes.
Just for the record, we would say all of these things even if Mr. Lewis had not threatened to sue us. Not that he did, but if he had, we would still say these things.
No, the Muscular Dystrophy Association is a little richer for us having been on the radio.
A lot richer.
That's all I got to say.
You don't mind my saying
that. He's 81 years old today, by the way, Jerry Lewis.
Looks fantastic.
Never looked better.
and talented, so talented, even today.
A man with the energy and the looks of a man half his age, seriously.
I would vote for him for king.
Victor Garber, our pal from Alias. Played Jack Bristow on that show, of course. 58 years old today. Eric Estrada.
How much do you think it would cost us if he did take legal action against us?
I bet it would cost us in the neighborhood of $250,000.
Oh. And our jobs.
What I'm guessing.
Sorry, back to you.
Eric Estrada, Ponch. He's 58 years old today.
Yeah.
Lauren Graham from the Gilmore Girls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
She's adorable, isn't she?
Yes.
Yep,
she's
cute.
40 years old today. And Flava Flav.
Come on.
Flava Flav. He's 48 years old today.
One time for your man. Everybody up in the house. One time. Let me hear you say Flava Flav.
How many clocks is that guy going to get for his birthday thing? He just keeps opening them up. One, oh, damn, another clock.
I think that doesn't get old, nor does hearing his own name said by other people. Yeah. I think he probably never gets tired
probably
of any of it.
True. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Gloria. You're always on the run now.
Till tomorrow, I'll be holding you tight.
Even if I don't sing, mm-hmm. I can be the next American Idol.
No.
In the midnight hour, she cried, more.
Simon, what is he? He's not even American.
He needs to go
who
back.
Is an American Idol to him?
Right. What he needs to go back to where he's from, France.
Amazing Grace.
Where he from? French?
That guy was my favorite, the Amazing Grace guy. Yeah. See, here's the thing. It's the Kevin Beach show on K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. You don't watch American Idol anymore, Kevin, because you're only in for the Bad Singers, right? What you don't realize is that thanks to our next guest, the Bad Singers are still on the show. They haven't already been eliminated because this dude gets us to vote for the bad, and he is Dave, the creator of VoteForTheWorst.com. It's been around for a couple of years, and it seems like it's really making an impact now on the show. Hey, Dave, welcome to the Kevin Beach show on K-Rock.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So you got to tell us, and I know you tell people this all the time, but where'd the idea come from? How'd you start it, and why?
The idea started during American Idol 3. The first season I ever watched the show is season 2, and I started watching the show, and you get sucked into it, and you're like, oh, let me vote for my favorites. And then soon you start to realize, you know, this isn't really a talent competition. The people who the producers want to win are going to win, and it's more of a reality TV show because most of these people can't even sing that well.
Okay, so
they don't pick the best singers; they pick the most entertaining people for television.
Okay, what do you understand about the voting? Is it 100% accurate, as in every single phone call equals one vote, and they go by that exclusively?
You know, I have no idea.
I don't know.
What we say is, you know, sometimes you think, you know, it looks like they did count the votes. Sometimes it looks like, oh, this is probably didn't count the votes at all. But you know, we try not to take it too seriously because of all the crazy people that take American Idol so seriously.
Yeah, they drive me crazy,
you know,
too.
We'll vote for the worst, and if they don't count the votes, you know, hey, it's fun. But if they do count the votes, hey, we're doing something. So.
Right. It's even more fun, right? You know, this season, what are we up to now, Dave? Is this season 6 we're in right now?
Yeah, season 6.
Okay. This season, it does seem like more than any other season, I have heard people complain about weaker singers being left behind as better singers are asked to leave. I mean, have you kind of noticed the same thing as you've been following it week to week?
Yeah, it seems like this year there's maybe 2 or 3 good singers, and it seems like the rest of them are all pretty awful. I mean, usually you have, like, a handful of bad singers and mostly good singers, but this year it seems like there's almost no good singers, and almost everyone's just awful. So
yeah, it's a pretty shallow talent pool this year. That's for damn sure. So, Sanjaya, explain for folks who don't see the show what it is you love and why you have thrown your tremendous VoteForTheWorst.com support behind Sanjaya.
Well, Sanjaya is this really, really shy 17-year-old who just, you know, gets up on stage and tries singing, but he just kind of almost whispers the song, and he's just kind of really awkward, and the judges can't stand him. And every week, he has a new hairstyle that looks absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, he's a clown.
Yeah, it's basically like he just gets up there and has absolutely no star power at all, sings the song, and the judges just have no idea what to say. I mean, the funniest part is that every single week, the judges are thinking, what can I say this week? Because
right.
It was so bad.
Because it's so bad each week.
He goes home.
I have a clip of him singing, and then a clip of Randy, I guess, is the one who's critiquing him. I can't even hear him, by the way.
No, they're burying him on purpose.
All right, so then Randy, who has, like Dave said, has, I guess, given him bad marks in the past, doesn't even know what to say.
I don't even know what to say, man. I'm like, dude, it wasn't very good. It really wasn't, man. It really wasn't. You know, listen, thank God for the background singers because that song was almost unlistenable for me, man. It was really, really weak.
Now, wow. Anytime it's not Simon that's cutting you down, you should probably listen, you know, very closely.
Yeah, yeah, because Randy and Paula do try to find something nice to say.
Right.
That. If Randy can't find anything, so Dave, you're sitting at home and you see, okay, unlistenable and weak and not good, that's the guy.
Then
Wednesday, when he was in the bottom two, you must have just been sweating that he was going to be asked to go home. And then, of course, he stayed on for another week.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, every single week Vote for the Worst gets a lot of press. Our person seems to go home because, I mean, maybe the producers don't want them around, so they kind of, you know, push him off to the side, kick him out.
Right.
But I was saying, oh, they're doing it again this week. You know, they're going to get rid of Sanjaya. And then when he stayed, I was like, well, that just validates Vote for the Worst because saying if he only survived by however many votes, that means we did it.
Did you jump up off the couch in exultation?
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious. I mean, I was like, I was gone. And then, no, he's still there. So I was laughing. It was really funny.
Hey, Dave, is there any way for you, because when they come on and they announce the results, it seems like, don't they, how many votes do they usually get on American Idol? Is it like 20 million, 25 million, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Someone actually said, last week they said something about 30 million votes, and this week they said something about 20 million votes, so it seems like the votes kind of went down this week.
Hmm. Right. My question to you is, do you have any idea, can you at all guess how many votes are being generated from people who are on your site?
You know, I have no idea, and it really jumped up so much this week, too, because Howard Stern actually encouraged his listeners to come by and vote for
Excellent.
Vote for the Worst, too.
Excellent.
And so, I mean, there were so many more people voting this week. I have absolutely no idea.
I love this, because this is how I vote in political.
Yes, you realms. Do.
You vote for the funny.
I vote for the funny, right? Yes, so the comedy here is to put the worst person all the way through. I love this idea.
Hey, how do you think Schwarzenegger became governor? People said, oh, that's hilarious. He's the Terminator guy. Seriously, let's vote for him.
That's true.
All right, let me read one thing real quick before we let our friend Dave go, creator of VoteForTheWorst.com, and this is what the best thing about your site is. Look, I don't care if you don't vote for the worst. I don't care if you don't watch American Idol. Do yourself a treat and go on the website every once in a while and look at the mail that Dave posts, because you get the best hate mail, and it's all from like 13-year-old girls, right, Dave?
Actually, it's sad because some of it is from like parents, and because like you think, oh, this is a 13-year-old girl, and you're reading it, and then it's like my kid said, oh God, this is a mom.
It's a mom.
Listen to this one from Madison. I'll just read as much as I can. What are you trying to do to American Idol? Y'all are just freaky, idiotic, fat freaks. Did I mention idiotic freaks? You don't have a life, so you destroy others. Some people are in it to win it. This is their big chance, and you ruin it. We will make sure Sanjaya and his ludicrous locks get voted off the show if it's the last thing we do. Good people deserve to win. We will vote for them a million times if we have to, so you and Sanjaya and your crew of freaks can just get a life. And it just goes on and on and on like that for about 10 paragraphs.
Wow.
Does she keep using the word freak?
She does include that a lot. Madison adds, by the way, I swear to God, whoever is setting up this website better close it down or else I will make you guys shut it down. That's awesome. Well, Dave, you're doing the Lord's work out there, my friend.
So when's the next voting that people can vote for this bad guy?
The next voting is next Tuesday, and if everyone watches the show next Tuesday and tunes in and votes for Sanjaya, we'll have way more hate mail like that. So.
Oh,
awesome.
And the best thing is, Kevin, I don't know if you heard, but Simon Cowell in an interview, am I right about this, Dave, said that if Sanjaya wins, he will quit the show.
He did say that.
Well, and then he's not going to let him win.
We thought that'd be pretty hilarious. But we don't think Sanjaya will probably win, but we'd like to keep him around for quite a while, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm going to vote for the first time ever Tuesday night. I'm not going to watch, but I'm going to vote for Sanjay.
Awesome.
All right. Good. Dave, thanks for coming on K-Rock. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Bye now.
Kevin, as you know, we're on vacation after today's show.
Yeah.
I don't know what your plans are, but I'm very excited because I am going to a place that I have long, long, long wanted to go on vacation. Tried to schedule it last year. Something came up, wasn't able to go. So today I leave at noon heading toward the vacation destination of the United States, the great state of Kansas, ladies and gentlemen.
You're going to Kansas?
A week in Kansas. And
for what?
I want.
You're spending a week in Kansas?
For what? For vacation. Are you kidding? The problem I'm having as I start to prepare for my trip is, how am I going to see it all in only a week? And that's why I wanted to bring onto the air our special guest, Richard Smalley. He is the tourism marketing manager of the Kansas Department of Commerce, who can help me decide which of the attractions I'm going to have time for and which maybe aren't worth going to visit. Hey, Richard, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Well, I couldn't be more excited. I fly into Kansas City tonight, and I'm spending a whole week in your state.
Cool.
Okay, Kansas?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my point. My point is, yeah. What are you talking about,
Kansas,
Kevin?
Kansas, hell yeah.
Is that one of those random vacation things you do or what?
It is, yeah.
Well, Bean's
random vacation guy. He vacationed one time in Death Valley.
Well, I love the traveling around the United States. There's so much to see that you'll never see if you just fly from city to city.
Let me see if I can explain this to you, Richard. He spent, I think, 3 full days in Blythe. That's the city that you stop at on your way to Arizona if you're driving.
Right.
For gas and maybe a bite.
I've spent a week in South Dakota before, one of the best vacations I ever had. But we don't have a lot of time, so I want to hit some of the highlights of your great state, because I got to decide, like, I know there are some things I have to see. Obviously, the world's largest ball of twine, I mean, that's a must. That's probably your biggest tourist attraction in the state, right?
Well, in the northwest part of the state, certainly, yeah.
I was with Bean when we went through Minnesota, I want to say, and he forced me to go see their world's largest ball of twine.
Well, who's his largest?
There's been a little... there's been a little bit of controversy about the balls of twine, right, Richard?
Hey, well, mine's bigger.
All right. Well, the one in Kansas, they still add to, so I'm definitely going to go see that. What do you know about, Richard? I'm sure you've been to some of these places. Just let me run a couple by, and you can tell me if I really need to go. I want to go to Independence, to Monkey Island, the home of America's first space monkey. Is that something that's worth seeing?
You know, I have to be honest. I have not been down there.
How dare you?
Richard? Yeah, I know. It's a big state, like you say, man.
Richard, have you ever received a phone call from somebody that wanted to spend a week in Kansas?
Absolutely.
Without family there?
But seriously.
Sure.
But I mean, really.
There's a lot of people who vacation in Kansas. There's a lot of cool stuff to see.
I've driven through Kansas, and you get through as fast as you can. You just keep the pedal to the metal, and you just fly.
How dare you? Richard, tell me about, I'm very interested in the Barbed Wire Museum in La Crosse. Is that something I should go to?
I tell you, what we need to do is start you out in Lucas at the Garden of Eden, because people don't realize that the Garden of Eden is actually in Kansas.
Oh, tell me about that. What's the Garden of Eden?
Well, it's
strip
a...
Strip club?
A Civil War hero named Dinsmore built concrete sculptures of the Garden of Eden characters, and it's probably... the weirdest place you will ever see. Actually, this guy built himself a mausoleum, and you can still see the old boy there in the mausoleum in a glass tomb.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's exciting. And this is in a little town called Lucas, Kansas, that also has the Grass Arts Museum. And they have a car built from pull tabs from cans. Of course, we don't have those anymore, but anyway...
That's pretty cool.
And now, of course, Kansas.
How can you listen to that and say that's pretty cool?
Because it's a car that.
You can't come to Kansas without talking about the Wizard of Oz, right?
Right.
Yeah, I understand. There's no place like home. So
there is a complex, right, that has all sorts of Wizard of Oz stuff, right?
Well, there's the Oz Museum in Wamego, and it's actually very cool.
I'm there.
Of artifacts.
Richard, let me just run this by you, because Bean is a guy who we can't get to go do an interview for our show at a coffee shop with girls in lingerie that's like 2 minutes from his house. We can't get him to go out. He says, oh, no, I'm a Starbucks guy.
Now, they don't have the Barbed Wire Museum at the coffee shop.
Now he's going to Kansas to go to the Barbed Wire exhibit, the Civil War hero that's made concrete sculptures and a car built from pull tops.
There you go, man.
Hey, Richard, what about World's Largest Prairie Dog in Oakley? Is that still up and running? Can I still see that?
It's still, he's still out there.
Oh, that sounds great.
Is it a real prairie dog?
No, what's it made of?
It's not, right?
Yeah, no, it's not a real prairie dog.
All right, let me ask you about just one more thing. And again,
wait a minute,
Smalley,
what's it made out of? What's the world's largest prairie dog made out of?
Well, you have to go see and find out for yourself, man.
They're usually like concrete or something, like the world's largest pecan in Seguin that we went to, Kevin. Remember?
I remember thinking, that's made out of cement. What's so great about that? Anybody could make a bigger one at any moment.
Well, I'll tell you what, here's something novel that we have that you guys don't have out there.
All right.
Dirt?
Fresh air.
Yeah, well, there's that.
Stars at night, that kind of thing.
A lot of stars at night.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm looking forward to that. Richard Smalley is the tourism marketing manager of the Kansas Department of Commerce.
What a hellish job.
TravelKS.com. Listen, we don't have time to get into it here, but I will tell the guys when I come back, and maybe I'll bring some slides back, Kevin.
Nope.
I'm going to visit, listen to this, I'm going to visit the world's largest collection of the world's smallest versions of the world's largest things, which is a touring museum that they have in Kansas. How awesome is that?
What? I don't even know what that means.
See,
Hey, Richard,
by the way, for those of you that aren't going to make it to Kansas, the National Geographic magazine is coming out in April. It has 22 pages of the Flint Hills in Kansas.
Hey, Richard.
Yes, sir.
You're talking to an audience of one. You're just talking right to Bean. I don't think anybody else is going to go get that.
What city are you in, Richard? I'll look you up and shake your hand.
Pardon me?
What city are you
in? That's the right answer.
What city are you in? You're in Wichita, or where are you?
I'm in Topeka.
Topeka. All right, man. I'll be there Monday. I'll come by and shake your hand. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. Bye-bye. See you then. Can't wait.
A week
the world's
in Kansas. That is your vacation.
The world's smallest replicas of the world's largest smallest things?
It's the world's largest collection of the world's smallest versions of the world's largest things. What they've done is they've taken all of the world's largest things and they've made miniatures of them. And then they have a touring. Really? You're not going to go see that either? Oh, it sounds awesome. I can't wait.
Bean picks comedy vacations.
He does. And then he takes them.
Because it's comically bad.
It's funny for a break, but don't go.
There's no one on this planet that would plan like you.
A lot of people go to Kansas.
Is your wife going with you?
They go because their family's there. They go because there's a convention.
Yes,
they know somebody. That's it.
World's largest ball of twine gets 300,000 visitors a year.
And they all live within like 10 miles.
Or they're stopping to pee while they're on the road. That's
right.
It.
Well, on their way to somewhere else.
When I'm at the world's first Pizza Hut on Monday, I'm going to be burning you guys.
Yes, you are.
Stop.
You're going to be burning up. Hey, Lightning, you want to get on the red line and be Julian McMahon?
He's trying to.
Hang tight.
Oh, they found him. Hang tight.
Okay, we'll do that.
What do we do when we hang tight?
Keep dancing.
I think we just stand by, and there he is. Ooh, fantastic. La. Premonition opens up everywhere today with the adorable Sandra Bullock and the equally cute Julian McMahon on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm sorry, Julian, welcome to Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Equally cute. Thank you very much.
Well, yeah, that's for me, Julian.
I was just going to say, as we so often mention on this program, I'm no Mo, but you're a good-looking dude, and I don't mind going to see you in this movie. That's all I'm saying.
Well, thank you. I hope you do go see it. It's a good movie.
It's you and it's Sandra Bullock. Tell us about Premonition. It looks like I can't figure it out. Are you dead? Are you not dead? Is she dreaming? Is she not? What's going on?
You know, I mean, that's the whole premise of the movie. It is a psychological thriller drama. It's about a woman who wakes up one morning and finds out that her husband's been killed in a car crash, and then wakes up the next morning and finds out that he's alive. And that kind of continues, and you do kind of continually go through that vein of, okay, is she dreaming? Is he alive or is he not? All that kind of stuff. But that's kind of an interesting part of the way to tell the story. And then inside of that, it's kind of a love story between this couple that have been married for, 6-7 years, and really have got this kind of misconnection for the past 7 years since their first child was born, and their kind of inability to communicate with each other. And so it's about them trying to reconnect, and it's about making choices. And if you made a choice differently from what you made previously in your life, how would that affect your life, and would you be able to change things? And it's kind of it's an interesting way to deliver a premise that's certainly been done before, but I think it's a great little flick.
It sounds like it. Tell me about America's Sweetheart, Sandra Bullock, because she seems like the type of person who would be so I mean, we know her husband a little bit, and we love him. She seems like equally cool, like fun to hang out with.
You know, I've been a big fan of hers for a long time, like, you know, the rest of America, and probably the rest of the planet, really. But, you know, just to get to work with her was just a great opportunity, obviously, for me. And then on top of that, to kind of get to know her pretty well. And we spent a lot of time down in Louisiana getting to kind of thresh out this script quite a bit and get to know each other. And she's just a pretty extraordinary human being. So,
you sound a tad bit sick. Are you still sick? I saw you on Jimmy Kimmel, and you said you were feeling under the weather a bit.
Yeah, I got very sick. I got like a virus, and I got a bronchitis, and I got, you know, it was...
Nice.
It was not good, but I'm getting better. Am I still sounding bad? I'm still...
Well, you sound a little under the weather, but that's
a little bit. Yeah.
I'm not feeling bad. That's the main thing.
I have a clip from the movie, and I think this is the entire movie where you're in the shower. here's the clip.
What? Hold on. Hey, hold on. Everything's going to be fine.
Yeah. Anytime anyone asks you to promise everything's going to be fine, you're in trouble.
So tell us about the shower scene. How long did you shoot it? How many days? What were you wearing?
Did we shoot the shower scene?
Yeah.
Well, we shot that for about 5 months and the rest of the movie about 3 days.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. That's what I was hoping.
Hey, that's what, Julian, that's what it looks like in the trailers. The trailers is all about you being in the shower.
Every time I see it, it's like... Okay, get me out of the shower.
Yeah, it's like, dude, does he ever get out of the shower?
It's just a big prune.
He wouldn't die if he stayed in the
shower. The movie is the guy never gets out of the shower.
Right, you wouldn't die if you stayed in the shower.
Exactly. If you stay in the shower, you're going to be fine. So just stay put, buddy.
Exactly.
Hey, Julian, let me ask you this logistical question. I hope it's not too boring, but you're doing Nip Tuck for at least 6 months of the year, maybe a little bit more. You got this movie coming out. I know you got the Fantastic Four sequel coming out in a month or two. How on earth did you have time? Was there ever a time where you were overlapping doing two at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, last year was a tough year. I did first 6 months, I did Premonition, then I went straight to Nip Tuck, and after a month of Nip Tuck, I went to do Fantastic Four. Nip Tuck, we shoot in L.A., No, Fantastic Four, we shoot in Vancouver. So every day I was working 3 days here and then 4 days in Vancouver, or 4 days here and 3 days in Vancouver.
Wow.
And that went on for like about a 6-month period. That was pretty,
That was pretty aggressive.
I wonder how you got sick.
I got a little sick, actually.
Yeah, I can't figure that out.
No kidding. But, I mean, as a as an actor, though, you kind of keep your head in the role that you're working on. I'm sure when you're Julian, you know, when you're, you know, being the Nip/Tuck guy, that's the guy you're thinking of when you wake up in the morning. That has to really screw you up when then the next day you got to wake up and be the Fantastic Four guy.
Well, it does, actually. It gets a little confusing. And I kept on coming back from Fantastic Four and doing, like, all these Dr. Doom things for my Christian Troy guy.
Right.
And I was like, don't play Dr. Doom now, buddy.
One final note.
Fine. Leave Dr. Doom with the Fantastic Four, not here on Nip/Tuck.
One final note about Nip/Tuck. The rumor is that Rosie O'Donnell's coming back.
Rosie's coming back. Rosie, when she came on the show last year, she just won the Powerball, $580 million.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
right.
So she comes back because we moved the practice to Los Angeles. So she comes back and she purchases our space on Rodeo Drive for us.
Yeah.
I guess.
But the doctors are moving into Beverly Hills and Rosie's.
But she's not naked again.
One of our partners.
But she's not naked. She's one of your partners?
Yeah.
She's a good character on the show.
Really?
And
she is. Yes,
she will be naked. Oh, no,
help
with us all. Julian. Is she going to be naked with you?
For God's sake, why do you do that to people?
Oh, Julian. Aren't they exciting?
They are not paying you enough. They couldn't pay anyone enough to do another naked scene with Rosie O'Donnell. God bless you.
Surprise.
The new film is called Premonition. Julian McMahon is a terrific actor, and this movie looks really good. Sandra Bullock co-stars. It opens up everywhere today. Go see it, and of course, the Fantastic Four in a few weeks just down the road. We're heading into summertime. Julian, I hope you feel better, man. We always love having you on the Kevin Bean Show. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, great to talk to you guys again. Thanks for having me.
Thank
okay?
you. A half hour from now, we're going to send somebody to Norway to see 9-inch nails for spring break.
Ooh, spring break in Norway. Brr.
Covered in jackets.
Right now, though, it is Friday, KRQFM passing Los Angeles. Oh, you probably already said that. And here's Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
I've got three opportunities for you to be in TV shows and movies, people.
Wow.
Oh, periodically, wow. They send me these casting announcements. If you're interested and you want to do something fun, be on a TV show or in a movie, here's your opportunity. So let me tell you about these. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? The very popular Fox game show is looking for contestants.
What if the answer is no?
Yeah, you shouldn't try out.
Don't
you
try out. Okay, no audition. All right.
But if you think you are smarter than a fifth grader, tomorrow, Saturday, March 17th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader is holding a casting call for contestants. So if you'd like to go down there, you can win, like, up to $1 million on this
can
show.
Can you really?
If you can answer all the questions,
wow.
Yeah. It's at the Raleigh Studios, Manhattan Beach, at 1600 Rosecrans Avenue in Manhattan Beach, California. Once again, that's from 10 to 5 tomorrow. Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
I tell that show you that, is remarkable, by the way, because there are first grade questions that a lot of us just stuff we haven't thought about since we were in elementary school. A lot of us have trouble with.
The questions really range from first grade through fifth grade. That's the whole range of information you need to know in order to be able to answer those questions.
Yeah, I'm out.
Like they were asking, I guess last night it was on. They said, what's the area of a triangle in square inches? The area in square inches of a triangle that is 12 inches by 12 inches.
I'm out.
244.
I mean, I would guess 144, but I would have no idea.
144. Bean would have got it.
I would say 144.
Then you'd be right too, Kevin.
All right.
Bean was on your team.
Has anyone not answered one question? Has there been a contestant that bad? Really?
Yes. Yes.
Went home right away. You get on a TV show, you get kicked off right away.
And you would love this, Kevin. When you fail, when you leave the show, they make you look into the camera and say, I am not smarter than a fifth grader. They make you confess it into the camera.
It's the walk of shame.
It is exactly what it is. Yeah.
And who knew Jeff Foxworthy is actually kind of funny? I mean, forget his redneck material. He's actually pretty good on this show.
No.
I think he's all right.
Question was, what is the largest land mammal? He goes, it's not my mother-in-law.
Yeah, I'm not.
No,
that,
he did not.
Material.
Yes, he
that
said
was,
that.
No, he
did. But Bean thinks he's funny.
No, that was not funny. I can't
believe that. Bean's going to comedy hell.
Here's another show you can be on called Crowned on the CW.
Crowned.
It's a mother and daughter beauty pageant show.
Oh my God!
For mothers and their grown-up daughters, 18 years of age and older, you can win $100,000. If you want to be on Crowned, it's mother-daughter pairs. Once again, the daughter has to be older than 18. It's at KTLA, 5800 Sunset Boulevard, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So
tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yeah, tomorrow as well. So you can be on Crowned, a new game show over there on the C-Dub, which all the hip kids are saying.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. apparently there's like some challenges and mother and daughter teams will have to compete against each other, and then there'll be some sort of beauty pageant at the end. Sounds a little hanky.
Weakest
unless
idea
they're,
ever.
Unless they're hot moms and daughter combos, then it'd be cool, kind of
but
cool.
But if they're
I love hot mom-daughter combos.
And if they go onto this show, they're automatically suspect mentally. They're crazy.
Who cares about their mental state?
I'm just saying.
Are they hot?
Yeah.
And if they're crazy, you might get both of them at the same time.
That's true. Yeah.
That's true.
And lastly, they're looking for extras for Will Ferrell's new movie. Semi-pro, the one about basketball in the 70s, about the ABA.
Right, him being awesome. A basketball player.
I'm assuming they're doing a big basketball scene and they need some people in the stands. So if you want to see how a movie's made and you want to see Will Ferrell and Andre Benjamin from Outkast. Woody Harrelson, Andy Richter, Will Arnett, some funny people. I'm telling you, you'll laugh if you just go in there and watch them make it. You go to beinamovie.com, beinamovie.com. It's going to be Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. The 19th, 20th, and 21st of next week, they need people. So you can check that out.
You could say, yeah, I was in a movie with Will Ferrell.
Yeah, yeah, I did semi-pro with Will Ferrell.
That was me.
Yeah, that was me.
Is Will going to be rocking his afro that we've seen him wearing lately for this movie? It sounds like this would be appropriate for the ABA movie.
I went down to the junket for Blades of Glory, his ice skating movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I walked in and I saw him, and I know Will a little bit, and I said, look at your hair. And it was just the biggest white fro you've ever seen in your life.
I wish I could do that.
Ridiculous.
I love white fros.
Yeah.
He wore it on the Oscars when he came out and did that number, which he looked fantastic with an afro.
Yeah, he doesn't really, though.
That's great.
Tyra Banks is a no-good whore.
That is correct.
How dare you?
Interesting article in Vanity Fair magazine talking about how the fact that the writers on her show, America's Top Model, after six successful seasons, after providing for her an $18 million year last year from that show alone, she had $18 million from that show.
From that show alone?
Yes. She wanted to, the writers on that show wanted to join the Writers Guild of America.
Right.
So they could join and get the union benefits. They could
of
get medical attention, you know, insurance, decent wage, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the network, the CW, said, no, you can't join because it keeps costs down when you're using non-union writers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the writers went to Tyra and said, could you step in our behalf? And could you pressure CW to allow us to join? No. She hung them out to dry and then fired them all when they were protesting about it.
No.
Tyra fired
them. She can make $18 million off of a TV show.
But they can't
have
insurance.
She doesn't want the freaking writers to get health insurance.
Wow.
I watched her do an eating disorder show the other day.
Yeah. Why?
A show about eating disorders. And one of the girls who had an eating disorder said, you know, you're part of the problem. America's Next Top Model. You tell ridiculously thin girls to lose weight. And she denied it. She said, that's not true. We have girls of all shapes and sizes.
No.
I take responsibility.
They never make it to the end.
But no, here's the truth. They have told girls to lose weight. I've seen it myself.
Oh.
She's out and out lying. No, I take responsibility.
I have one thing to say to you. Kiss my fat ass.
Oh, Lisa, it's on.
It's on.
She's
it's on like Donkey Kong. Let me ask you this, Ralph, and I don't ask this question to defend Tyra, because I think that's a reprehensible practice. I think they absolutely should be in the Writers Guild. But isn't that fairly typical for reality television? That's one of the reasons why they make so much reality TV, is because they don't have to pay the writers the big money.
Yes.
It doesn't sound like
not just her show, but a lot of the other shows.
It is fairly typical, but in this particular case, these writers said they wanted to move on. After six seasons, they thought maybe it was time for them to move up in the world. Here's an example, though. A lot of the basic cable channels, by the way, networks work under the same practice. They don't pay. They don't hire guild union writers because it is more expensive.
It's more expensive, right?
For instance, the Daily Show writers were not union writers over there on Jon Stewart's
really?
The Daily Show.
Right.
They got together and they wanted to join the WGA. Comedy Central said no. Jon Stewart stepped in and said, you will let these guys become union writers.
Fantastic.
You will let them join.
I mean, he stood up for the little man?
He stood up for his employees and the little man. Comedy Central backed down because he's the 600-pound gorilla.
Right.
And these guys were able to join the WGA and get insurance for their families.
And retirement, gee, how greedy are they?
Good for him.
All that stuff. So just to show you the difference between a good person like Jon Stewart and a Satanist like Tyra Banks.
Tyra Banks really blows.
Wow.
Isn't that insane? Was that not crazy?
I didn't think it was possible to hate her more than I do.
Yeah. Stories just keep me coming every day. Every day I can find a new bad Tyra story. Wow. Sometimes three, four stories a day.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I know.
What are we going to do? What are we going to do?
I'm going to marry her.
See, he's the problem.
He is the problem.
With America.
I hope that giant ball of twine comes off its moorings and crushes you when you're visiting it in Kansas.
That's the way you want to go.
Hi, this is Tyra Banks.
Oh, shut
up. Bean and I can't come to the phone right now, so leave a message for us at the tone, and we'll get back to you later. Bye.
Ralph Garman.
Hey, Gene Simmons.
You brought up being crushed by giant balls.
Yes.
Lisa May.
Oh, no,
a ball of twine.
No.
Just a ball of twine.
Today's celebrity birthdays, comedian Jerry Lewis is 81 years old today. A national treasure, I say.
Oh, my God. No,
Jerry Lewis. Chuck Woolery, game show host.
Yeah. 2-2.
He's 6-6 today.
What is 2-2?
Hey! We'll be back in 2-2.
He's 66 today. He's 6-6.
6-6.
See?
Sure. I don't get it.
People actually help the setup for a change. Very strange feeling. Victor Garber from Alias is 58 years old today, as is Eric Estrada. Punch! From Chips. Lauren Graham, Lorelai Gilmore from the Gilmore Girls, turns 40 years old today. And Flava Flav is 48 years old today.
Yeah. He rules.
I hope there's going to be another Flavor of Love. They do another season?
I don't think so.
I haven't heard.
I don't know. I heard that he was saying he was not going to, but I don't know if he's going to change his mind or not.
Yeah, wait till he looks in his checkbook.
Yeah.
All right, I'll do another one. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Our friend Frank Caliendo, ladies and gentlemen, appearing at the Irvine Improv starting, last night and all the way through Sunday night in the studio with the Wolf and Skirock.
Hey, Frank, how are you, man?
Pretty good, pretty good.
It's good to see you.
This is going to come to a shock to a lot of you, but that when we talk to John Madden, not really John Madden.
No.
People honestly ask me all the time if that's really John Madden.
Because he sounds so much like him.
I mean, when you sound like a guy and it isn't the guy and you think it is the guy and you're not sure if it is or if it isn't the guy, you got to wonder, hey, is that guy? And then you say, no, it isn't. And then you say, it has to be.
That's right.
That's what happens, hey, Frank, exactly.
How did it happen? Because I've never seen another comedian who gets this kind of reception on the Letterman Show. How did it happen that he started booking you as a guest to play Coach Madden? This is insane. You've been on a couple of times doing
four
it already.
Four times they had me on doing John Madden. I would do it for nobody else other than maybe Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
Because he got me into a lot of stuff. But the
that's weird.
He loves it so much. And the funny thing is, I'm the first guest. I've been first guest. I've been the first guest in front of Ben Stiller. I've been the first guest.
Really?
Yeah, I don't deserve I'm not really the first guest. It's a fake John Madden bit before.
Right.
But Ben Stiller's
before the
one of
whole
the biggest
show.
Stars in the world, the funniest guys in the world, and I'm going up before him. And it was funny walking up because I did it, and I Ben Stiller said, you know, hi, funny, nice job, or something like that. And he's got to be thinking, what is this creep doing before? For me,
yes.
I'm going to have the biggest movie in the world for a little while.
I'm following him. This is not working for me.
It's hilarious, though, because there are a lot of comedians, and don't misunderstand, Frank is a comedian. I mean, that's the thing. He happens to be good at impressions, but he does comedy, does stand-up, right? So there's a lot of comedians that do impressions in the act, but never do they get invited to come on in character to a show like that as a guest. It's just surreal.
And the even more ridiculous thing is that John Madden wouldn't be the first guest if he was actually on the show.
That is true. If he was a real guest, he would be last.
The producers, like, he would not be first, and you've been first four times in 2 months. It's really surreal. And they want me to come on as Bush, too, now.
Oh, they do? Oh.
And the funny thing about that is, like,
Frank does a perfect spot on Bush.
But the thing, I don't look like him. So it's
not
like,
at all, right?
I'm like, could I come on and do, can I lose 40 pounds first and then do it? Because it's going to look like one of the seven dwarves is walking out there going, hello, America, how are you? So
his face looks like him, though, when he does.
When you do the voice, you kind of have to.
Totally.
Like I got stung by a bee and had an allergic reaction.
Yeah.
You know? My face puffified.
He's the, he's the only president who can answer a question like a 17-year-old girl. You know,
whatever. Talk to the hand. Talk to the fist because the hand don't exist. Boom, gotcha. You got a duck of a cake.
Was it the best moment ever when President Bush got locked in the room with those reporters? And he went to the door and it wouldn't open and he turned to the reporters. We have the picture up on the door right there behind you. He turned and looked at the reporters like, what do I do now?
I got to do a little mime. Little Marcel Marceau.
You know? I love that the president sounds like he is surprised and impressed with himself when he gets to the end of any sentence, like, how do you like me now? I managed to get that whole sentence out. Check me out.
Yeah, it's that smile. And it's like somebody told him a really dirty joke backstage.
Yes.
And it's like that's all he's thinking about the entire time. And he wants to let you in on it, but he knows it would be inappropriate. And he's trying to get there and let you in. Hello, America. And the smile starts lurking out. You know? And especially those of you from Nantucket.
The guys back there know
what I'm talking about? I laugh like a Muppet. Who cares?
Frank Caliendo is here, by the way. Irvine Spectrum in Irvine. Now, how was the show last night? How was the crowd last
Good.
Night?
Good. Pretty much sold out. If it wasn't sold out, just a couple seats left. But
Do they make you do Madden? Do they force you to?
Yeah, nowadays, I say I'm not going to do Madden, and then people like get upset about it. And I'm like, you're checking your ticket prices, aren't you? And they're like, you know, I could not do it. That's what people are looking for. And I have fun doing it still, and especially when the check's clear.
If I were John Madden and I saw that on Letterman or whatever, I think I would look at people and say, am I like that? Really? I mean, wouldn't it hurt his feelings if he were watching? I would
Have
think, because
heard?
He's just a giant bumbling
he
idiot.
Hates
he hates his people try to block everything I do.
Awesome.
I'm surprised you guys didn't get a call that, you know, don't ever do this again.
Really?
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, and that's just, years
it's
ago.
It's so much better that he hates it.
Here's my thing. My thought. If here's a guy who didn't conjugate the verb. Here's my thing. I would have used that. here we go. Switching voices. Who needs jokes? Here we go. Okay. That's Robin Williams.
That was Robin Williams.
I mean, he did it. And that's what Kellyanne is doing. He's not making any sense. He's just going from voice to voice. Well, why not? Okay.
I'm
going
to be exhausted if I come see your show. I have a feeling.
That's what it's all about. Yeah. Is just going.
Exhaustion.
Trying to figure out. Well, I forgot where we were. Here's a guy who went off on a tangent. I love tangerines. They're my favorite fruit.
I like melons.
where were we?
Two shows tonight, three shows on Saturday, and one show on Sunday. Of course, all those details at frankcaliendo.com. Hey, real quick, before we take a break, because I know this won't take long, and then we're going to come back and talk more with Frank and also give away the trip to Norway. You've been a stand-up for a long time. You've traveled all over this great country of ours. How's Kansas?
I want to see the greatest, what is the largest?
No, you don't.
What is it? The largest
collection?
Collectification?
Yes,
the
it's the
world's largest collection of the world's smallest version of the world's largest things. I definitely am going to see that when I'm in Kansas.
Yeah,
but
so
you've probably spent some nights in Kansas, I would imagine.
Would
you ever go back on purpose?
No.
Now you fly over. Now you're done with it.
Yeah.
And you were at that museum, whatever it is, and you would look at that, you would say, okay, there it is, and you would hate yourself for ever having gone there. Right?
I like when he said it was a comedy vacation that he actually
takes. It is. That's what he does. He picks for
comedy.
He
doesn't admit it, but it's true.
He says, what I could be the worst possible vacation I could go on in a million years? Who's going
untrue.
With you? Your wife?
Well, she opted out of this one. But the point is that there are places that I
your
enjoy going to that I want to see. Look, there's the Salt Museum in Hutchinson, Kansas. Who doesn't want to see a museum about salt?
Awesome. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Nobody wants to see that.
Well, there wouldn't be a Salt Museum if there weren't an audience for a Salt Museum. It wouldn't still be open today if they didn't have visitors, Kevin.
It's sponsored by salt people. Come on.
Every time Just Stupid Bean it. Takes us to one of his stupid locations and there's nobody there. Which is
I'm
the case every time.
Bringing back slides for when we get back from vacation.
Right.
I'll be sharing the beauty that is Kansas. All right, Frank Caliendo is here. We'll take a quick break. Come back with more right after this on the World Famous K-Rock. What? What's going on?
Well, we were just having
We're doing bets. We were just having
a conversation, and Lightning says over the speakers, "You're on the air." And I look
What does it mean?
It means the song ended, and there was just nothing going on.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I mean that's what you got to do. When the song ends, you got to keep talking.
That's not how you do it.
You start talking together, and then you stop talking when the song is on, and when the song is back. I mean, you know, you think, "Hey, what are we doing? We weren't talking, and we should have been talking, but we're talking in the wrong place."
Yes, and it was not even interesting. We were just chatting.
No, not at all. Hey, that's Frank Caliendo in the studio, appearing at the Irvine Improv. Two shows tonight, three Saturday, one Sunday. Go to frankcaliendo.com or call 949-854-5455. Frank, real quick before we make this grand prize drawing, because we got to call and give away a trip to Norway, which we're very excited about. Our favorite new show we are obsessed with is To Catch a Predator with Dateline NBC's Chris Hansen. And it used to be on like infrequently, but now it's such a big smash. It's on every single week, and it's hilarious. Do you watch it at all?
Oh, I love the show because I think that it's funny because the predators never stop eating the cookies. I think
I never noticed that
plate of cookies. If you watch them, they tried to go to juice for a little while, then they went back to cookies because can Ralph come in here and do a little Chris Hansen?
Yeah, probably.
Lightning was telling me how great his Chris.
Chris Hansen. And then I asked Ralph, and he's like, it's not that good. I'm like, just come in and
just
because I can't do Chris Hansen. I don't want people to know.
It is funny, though. It is very funny because for folks who haven't seen the show, they go to they're expecting to have sex with a with an underage boy or girl, and then Chris Hansen walks out from Dateline NBC with a camera crew and everything like that, and they try to play it so cool. They try to be so nonchalant. It's like, oh, hey, how you doing? And they're just eating and chatting.
The guy might be naked. Like, the guy might come into the room naked. So he'll see the plate of cookies. He'll start eating, and Chris Hansen will come in.
Hi there. Enjoying those cookies?
Yeah, these are good. These are...
Help yourself to some lemonade.
No, just the cookies. What's in here, raisins?
So why did you think you were coming here today?
Did you make these? These are really, really good. Okay.
Let's talk about the 14-year-old girl you came here to see.
Oh, she made the cookies.
Right, can we forget about the cookies for a minute?
No, these are so good.
Just please put the cookies down.
I can't leave the room and get bushwhacked by a bunch of people. This is unbelievable.
I'm Chris Hansen from Dateline NBC.
I've seen the show. You guys have
Do you like the show?
I like the cookies.
That's all they did. They just keep... But they're just chopping.
I think they don't know. They're so shocked by it that they just don't know what to do. They keep doing whatever it was they were doing.
They give them that, but it just makes me laugh so hard because they really do. They get... they won't even look at him in the eye. They'll just start...
Right.
The cookie's going to save them. Like, it's got some mystical power. It's just a cookie.
Sweet cookie, take me away.
I'm not a doctor anymore.
It is funny, though, with the show becoming more popular every week, that every single show now has a half a dozen guys who watch the show and know it could be a setup and still go.
Here's one of the chats from that show.
You ever watch Dateline? I was watching it yesterday.
And the great actors that portray
that's what kills me. They can't find two actors to read these transcripts better than these two. It's NBC, for God's sakes.
This is an exact transcript.
Get Steve Carell and Jenna Fisher. You know, get some of the... Get NBC. You got actors over there, right?
Oh,
yeah. God. Use them.
Think so. Is it good?
Yeah, these TV personnel chat with men as kids, and they ask them to meet them and show it on TV.
Oh.
It's pretty funny. You should watch it.
It's pretty funny.
But in this show, they send those people to jail for meeting a child.
I don't want you in trouble. How did they find out?
I don't know.
So then this guy shows up.
This is why they're showing the words on the screen. Yeah. That is really bad.
That's horrible.
The worst acting ever.
We should apply. We're the worst actors. We could do that, right?
I could do better than that.
Well, I know you could do better, but Bean and I could do that.
You guys are writing an impressionist bit right now. That's like you got to hire Al Pacino or you got to hire Adam Sandler.
I was watching the show. Hey, it's how we do.
Spend your money. You're making it now. That might be a sketch that I want to do. Can we use that?
Absolutely.
I'll have to put a Kevin and Bean and
There's a put in the program idea. With an asterisk. That's all.
All right. Frank Caliendo, the man of 1,000 voices, is here on the world-famous K-Rock, appearing at the Irvine Improv. Frank, we got to take care of some station business here. All week long, we have been giving away Nine Inch Nails CDs and DVDs and qualifying folks for the grand prize drawing we're going to do right now to send somebody to the ultimate spring break. And by ultimate, we mean worse, because it's just freaking freezing in Norway this time of year. But we're sending you to Oslo to see Nine Inch Nails. Lisa, you're going to do the drawing for us?
Sure. I already did it. Now we're calling.
Sorry. Maybe we were doing that when the song was ending. Maybe I just wasn't
paying attention. That's what was happening.
Nope, just talking about nothing. Just chatting about nothing.
We're sitting near the room. It's just dead air. Like, what the hell?
How long?
The light's like, you're on the air.
Did the terrorist attack?
How long was it?
It was about 20 seconds.
20 seconds.
Excellent. Wow.
We are professional broadcasters. Is this Chris?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Stavropoulos?
Stavropoulos.
Aren't you the dude that's dating Paris Hilton?
No, it's Stavros Niarchos.
Oh.
Different guy.
Chris Stavropoulos.
Am I the freak you interviewed? Come on, I've been waiting for that freaking answer all day, all week.
No, I'm sorry, Chris. Life. I'm Chris Hansen from Dateline NBC.
This is Chris Hansen. This is the Greek.
Why did you say you wanted to take a 13-year-old to Norway?
He didn't say that. Do you have the chat in front of you?
I do. It says here, your screen name is Norway Effer 39.
I've always wanted to go to Norway.
Oh, Al Pacino, welcome.
Here's the transcript.
They have some beautiful girls there, none of them of age. Who wants to play hide the salami?
You're tricking me out, man.
Hey, that's great, because you talked over our entire bit.
Yeah, he's not listening to a thing we're saying.
The only time he was turned down is I turned him down physically.
We're doing some good stuff here, man. Try paying attention to the show, for God's sake.
Oh, my God.
Chris, you're the winner. You're going to Norway.
Yeah!
And he's genuinely excited.
You got round trip airfare for two. You got hotel. You got tickets to Nine Inch Nails in Norway. Now you got nothing.
Now he's out. Now we give him the mic.
He's out.
Okay.
Yeah.
You gotta give me a few minutes.
Dude, give us a few minutes.
We're doing hilarious comedy.
All right. Listen, Chris, don't be bad, but we're gonna call you back or someone will call you back and give you all the details. But congratulations, you're the ultimate spring break winner, okay?
Thanks, Kevin, and being
now. Bring a jacket. It's miserably cold there now.
All right.
See how funny we are? We call it spring break.
Oh man.
That's crazy.
We kill me.
Thanks so much.
All right, thank you, dude. We'll call you back.
See you later.
Well, that could have gone better. So,
you think?
Frank, I know we'll be talking to you again soon, and we don't have time to get into it now because we got to say goodbye, but you have your own TV show.
Yeah,
that's
TBS.
It's going to debut in the fall.
Coming out
awesome.
This fall, TBS. It's called The Frank Show right now. So, we did the upfront things for the advertisers the other day, and Bill Engvall has a show coming on, and I was like, Bill got his last name on the show. That's pretty good.
You're just Frank?
I'm just Frank.
They don't know if they like you yet.
Maybe the second season, if it works, maybe they'll add another name.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Each season, you get another name. I know we'll talk to you before that. You can give us all the details on the show. But in the meantime, Frank Caliendo in town this weekend at the Irvine Improv. Go see him. Two shows tonight. You got to go to all the shows. You can't just go to one. Go to both shows tonight, all three tomorrow night, and then the last show on Sunday. Call 949-854-5455.
And if tomorrow night you go to all three shows and you hear the same joke twice, point it out loudly.
Hey, I heard that the last show.
I heard Norm MacDonald talk about that once.
Oh, really? Like,
yeah, people think that they're going to see a different show, you know, if they stick around. Well, those guys are jackasses, you know? What do you think? No, you don't act, man. I don't have new jokes every show. Why don't you die?
Now? Do I go now?
Yes,
now you talk. The song's over. Now you talk. 106.7 K-Rock, it's KROQ, and the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:46. I don't know. It seems kind of basic to me when the song ends. You know, that's when we come on. Hey, an update on what happened to the Armenian comedian. What went so horribly wrong in his attempt to get into the Guinness Book of World Records? Coming up after the news at 8, also the movie beat next hour. Right now, the Kevin and Bean Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. It's our answering machine we've set up for 24 hours a day for your entertainment.
Kevin, Bean, I said what? In the butt. You want to do it in my butt? In my butt? You want to do it in my butt? In the butt.
Gayest song ever?
Samwell fan.
Yep.
Look up Samwell, S-A-M-W-E-L-L, on YouTube, and you'll be gay just for watching it. That's how it works. The song is great, but the video is mind-blowing. It's spectacular. You will be gay. I'm telling you now. If you don't want to be gay, don't watch that video. That's what I'm telling you. Psycho Mike fan.
Why does Psycho Mike laugh like a douchebag?
Why does he do everything like a douchebag? It's a good question. We all ask ourselves that quite often. All we get for Lisa's love.
Lisa, me? I love you.
Nice.
That's especially for her.
Yeah.
Maybe for this one we need a...
Following is rated MALV. It contains strong language and violence. It is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion advised.
All right. Not violence, but...
When I hear the word moist, I think of Lisa's vagina.
Okay.
Well, subtle. That's what he is.
Subtle. Subtle and witty. That's his deal.
I'm drunk-alicious. Can't even board the plane.
Fergie.
See, because Fergie couldn't get on the plane. She was too drunk.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Fergalicious is her song. Yeah.
Banana, bo-banana, and a banana, bo-banana. Come on, let's go.
Wow. Not really gold. This girl has been trying desperately to get in touch with Bean.
Bean, why won't you call me back? I'm pregnant and it's your baby. Please call me. Stop avoiding me. This is your child we're talking about. Please call me.
What do you guys think the chances are that I have a child out of wedlock?
Well, in wedlock, I don't think you have a chance.
I don't think you have sex. I don't think you've had sex in 20 years, so
right.
I'm guessing
no.
Not.
Yeah, I don't. I think that that was a misdial. She's trying to get hold of Jed, clearly.
Oh.
Dude, Bean is so gay. Gay people are like, man, that guy's gay.
No, you know what? Gay people are like, don't give him to us. That's what they tell us occasionally. Don't say he's gay. He's not gay.
Right. We don't want him.
We don't want him. He's not on our team. I'll tell you that right now. This next call is from a frequent caller who is always gold.
Her husband asked to his wife she can get some hedges for his door. So she goes to the store and grabs the hedges, goes to the cashier, and the clerk notices she doesn't have any fasteners. So she goes, would you like to have a screw for those hedges? No, she says, but I will have some blows for the toasters in the window.
I don't understand one word.
I'm sure hedges? That there's a joke in there somewhere, but it's I'm been not. Butchered so poorly. You're not sure?
He bought hedges? What did he buy?
Hedges. I don't know. I don't know. And like Bean said, we're going to give you some details just after the top of the hour, but this listener is kind of making fun of us a bit.
Wow. So Sam, the Armenian, didn't break the record, and it ended up a horrible disaster, and girls were crying? Oh, my God. Who could have seen that coming a mile away? God, why do you let that guy on the radio? I hate him so much. God, I hate him.
Evan.
That is a great question.
That guy loves him, is what he means.
No, I think he hates him.
For the stoners listening who may have woken up too late for the grand prize drawing, the trip to Norway to see Nine Inch Nails, Kevin, who was our big winner that we spoke with a few minutes ago?
Chris Stavropoulos from Whittier.
That's the guy.
Going to Norway, gets to see Nine Inch Nails, won the whole thing. Wouldn't shut up while we were talking to him. No. Just wouldn't stop talking.
He's no happy. It's 7:57 Friday morning. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, what's going on?
Another internet death rumor for a celebrity. Once again, proven to be untrue. It's been going around over the internet this week that comedian Sinbad had died of a heart attack. However, his brother, his manager, and Sinbad himself said he's fine, alive, and kicking. I hate when this they get confused with his career.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's just sad. It's just tragic.
This isn't the first time that Sinbad has been the guy either, by the way. For some reason, every once in a while, we hear about him.
Think he's doing it? I heard a commercial for one of his stand-up comedy concerts. I didn't know he was still doing it, but I heard a commercial for it, and it says that he is the funniest stand-up alive today.
What?
In the commercial.
Wow. That's good.
That's a claim, right?
He must be funny.
You know who is dead, and it's very sad, is our friend Frank Caliendo, that guy who used to do the John Madden stuff.
Nope.
He took his own life.
It's in the other room, apartment. Actually.
It was very sad.
Still here?
Just sitting there. Heard about that.
Okay. Sitting there in our office right now, alive.
Live dead guy sitting in your office?
Dude. No.
That's effed up.
I'm thinking of Richard Jenny, I believe.
That's right. That's who it was.
Frank did say it's good news because everybody gets to move up one, though. I thought it was tragic.
Is that how it works?
No, not at all. Jessica Alba says, one of the best things about being an actress is you get to be a bride even if you're not engaged.
Okay.
She said she's acted in 4 wedding scenarios this year.
Dude.
She's getting pretty good at it.
Okay. She got crazy down? Because that's what you need.
Her favorite one so far is her wedding in the Fantastic Four 2, where apparently she and Mr. Fantastic get married. Oh. Little spoiler for you, but it's not really a surprise. Everyone knows they're married. But they get married in this film.
Okay.
And then the Silver Surfer just bangs the crap out of her in the wedding. It's a very strange turn of events. Warner Brothers says they're looking to put another famous fictional hero into a motion picture. Would you go to see a movie based on Sherlock Holmes?
Maybe.
Depending on who did it.
One of the most filmed of all fictional characters, by the way, is Sherlock Holmes.
Is it?
Yeah. I think him and Robin Hood are right up there. But, Sherlock Holmes going to make a comeback. No word yet on who will play the famous detective. But
Sinbad.
Sinbad is Sherlock Holmes. Rumor. I like it. Sinbad Holmes. He's the greatest detective alive today. That'll be on the poster.
Sounds like Anthony Hopkins territory to me. First thing I think of when you say that. Sherlock, no?
I think they'll probably skew younger.
Yeah.
I think they'll probably want
Will
a younger.
Will Smith.
Make a series of them, you know, like they did
yeah,
with
that's
the
true.
Batman. And
You don't start a trilogy.
You freaking Laurie.
That's a good idea. That's nice. A great idea,
Psycho Mike. Psycho Mike pulling it right out of his ass there.
But did he have a cane? Because if he didn't have a cane, he's going to have trouble playing that.
Oh, Gilligan.
What?
The thing is, like, James Bond, it's got to be a British guy. You can't just plug in
I think so too.
Dane Cook or something. Sherlock Holmes. It's not going to pan out.
Although he's a hell of an actor.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I own Employee of the Month, but...
Who doesn't?
A lot of people. Ryan Phillippe's getting a little ticked off at the paparazzi.
Yeah, I imagine.
His future ex-wife, Reese Witherspoon, have been the targets so many times of these people. Really aggressive paparazzi. New York Daily News reports that a bunch of photographers followed him to a Burger King in Santa Monica and just kept shooting in and out of the restaurant. Finally, he came out of the restaurant. He was so enraged, he threw a Whopper at them.
Dude.
You know, when you're not going to the clubs and the restaurants where you know they hang out, I think you have a little bit of a right to have some privacy.
He's not going to the Burger King on Robertson next to the Ivy. He's just going to get a burger.
Yeah.
The guys with the camera caught it in his mouth and just kept on shooting.
No, I don't know if it hit the ground and Jennifer Hudson came running. She screamed 5 second rule and then just stuffed it in her mouth. So I don't even know what that means. Thank you. Thank you, kids. I appreciate that. Let's have a real quick email before I get to celebrity birthdays.
Sure.
Dear Ralph, I don't know if you're politically active or not, but I recently attended a symposium on the war in Iraq.
Oh, good.
There were about a dozen of so-called experts sitting on the stage behind a long table pontificating on the current situation in the Middle East. There were Nobel-winning scholars, members of highly thought-of think tanks, all touting their keen insights. But suddenly it struck me there was not one single native or resident from that war-torn nation. Ralph, can you please tell me why there was no Iraqi on the dais?
No, you didn't! Yes, you did, Michael Holden from Burbank. God bless you for your contribution. It's back, people, and it may be better than ever.
On the dais, on the dais. On the dais, on the dais, on the dais. On the dais, on the dais, on the dais. Oh, 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 on the dais. Iraqi on the dais.
A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
Falco would be so pleased if he was here with us today.
I don't know.
I think he would. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jerry Lewis, National Treasure.
He's a hung, though.
Hey, oh, no,
what
no,
are you thinking?
No.
What are you doing?
You couldn't be more wrong.
Oh, my God.
Kevin.
God.
He's a fan.
Oh, my God.
No.
Kevin, who is solely responsible
Mike,
for that material.
Lord. Psycho Mike.
Kevin.
Oh,
my God.
Sue Mike.
Mr. Lewis is God, as far as Ralph and I are concerned. I don't know what you two guys got going on in the back there, but we love Mr. Lewis and think he does no wrong ever.
And we would like to keep our jobs so much.
Yes.
He's 81 years old today. Chuck Woolery, legendary game show host. Remember the Love Connection? Love Connection was huge. It was the hottest thing going for a while.
I never saw that.
You never saw the Love Connection?
Uh-huh. I'm sure you did. They sent him out on dates, and then they came back.
If you'd like to go on a second date, we'll be happy to pay for it.
Maybe.
It's not.
I might have. I don't know.
It wasn't like 100 years ago.
It was something I flushed from my system.
It's not
if
in
I
black and white.
It.
It's a real TV show that's been on recently.
What do you want me to say?
You'll be back in 2 and 2. That's what I want you to say.
2 and 2.
Chuck Woolery is 6 and 6 today. He's 66 years old today. Victor Garber from Alias is 58 years old today, as is Eric Estrada.
Yeah.
Ponch from Chips. Flava Flav celebrates his 48th birthday today. And Lauren Graham. Lorelai Gilmore on the Gilmore Girls is 40 years old today. Guess who's a big fan of the Gilmore Girls here at this station? Could you guess?
I wonder who it could be.
Let's see, it was a show that was on the show. WB and now the CW. Who would love the Gilmore Girls?
I love that show.
Oh, I love the Gilmore Girls. The mother's hotter than the daughter. Dave says about Gilmore Girls.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Sam, the Armenian comedian, who is now in the Guinness Book of World. Oh, wait a minute. That's right. That didn't happen. He quit after 2 hours. That's
well, he
right.
He didn't quit as much as we had to pull the plug. Sam's bad. And for those of you that weren't listening yesterday, he was cutting hair all day. Now, there was some things going on behind the scene. One of which, there were a lot of technicalities that were going on.
Right.
And the Guinness people are crazy about technicalities. We have done 2 world record-setting attempts with Dave the King of Mexico, neither of which were records because of some tiny little technicality.
Exactly.
So they tell us that he has to cut every hair. He has to cut 3 inches off everybody's hair. And he has to use scissors on every hair. And he wasn't doing that. And he has to wet it himself. And he wasn't doing that. And so we were just behind the scenes. We were going, dude, you know, he has to do this. He has to do that. Stop helping him. He needs to do this. He needs to do that. And he just wouldn't listen. He wouldn't change. He just kept doing. So we were already, by the time it got to be about 9 o'clock, he was already like, we were hoping to skate through it. There's
right.
no way it would have worked.
Yeah, he could have gone on, I guess, the whole time if he could have managed, but it wouldn't have.
It wouldn't have been
anyway.
In the book because
right.
of the technicalities.
But
right.
then we found out, on top of that, that girls were crying, that they were upset so much about their hair. And we brought a few highlights from yesterday at the end of the show when things had to be called off. This is just telling Sam and telling the audience about the girls crying.
Some of the girls are crying.
We have
a lot of disappointment.
What are the girls crying about? Their haircuts are that bad?
Yeah, pretty much.
Women are demanding Brandy fix the haircuts and make things right and give them free haircuts. And
there
seems to be more trouble than it's worth for Brandy and electric hair.
Brandy, how many people have you promised that you'll make it right? Because you're going to have to donate that, right?
Well, we're at 40-some haircuts, and I probably was at about, I'd say, a good 15, 20.
Free
haircut.
Wow, that's not good.
So now we have to weigh. He's not going to get the record anyway. We were, Dave the King of Mexico, when he was doing the TV watching thing, it was much more accurate and to the rules than this was. And they denied us for that. So we were thinking, how much is it worth it, really? With
how
all of the
damage
details.
Are we going to cause for nothing?
Well, that's the thing. If you're not going to be in the record book and you're trashing a business that's been around and been successful for 25 years to do it, it doesn't seem like it's worth it. And I don't blame Brandy for running the shop for being upset because, yeah, these are customers of hers that are now, you know, going to have a terrible haircut to live with.
And people emailed us and said, what did they expect? Listen, there's got to be some kind of happy medium between. You know,
can trim a girl's hair without hacking it into unrecognizable pieces.
So the girls are crying, and this is Sam the Armenian Comedian's response to what the tears are for.
What's going on? Right. I'm here to give a fast haircut, not designed luxurious.
Well, it's about quality.
Do you want Beverly haircuts and all that? You have they have to pay me. I'm here to do a
they
fast
have to pay
haircut.
You. I think there's got to be some kind of common ground between a perfect haircut and sobbing. I mean, don't you think crying is a bad sign?
I don't think so. They cry with joy. They have
no,
my haircut.
Crying with joy.
They cry with joy.
That's what I like to think when the women around me are weeping is it's because it's such a joy to be with me. But I think I may be delusional just like Sam.
They were crying with joy. So now it gets to be near the end of the show. He's made a tremendous amount of mistakes. He is not going to get the record, and we know it. Right. And he's ruining the business. So we figure, you know what? There's just no possible way this can go on. And then Brandy, who runs the salon, she's telling us about one particular head of hair. This girl came in with super long, beautiful hair.
He basically took it, chopped it, turned her head upside down, chop, 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 flipped it back over, chop,
because
chop, chop,
because
you
never seen my technique, Brandy.
That is
you
not a
technique.
You have
to learn my technique.
Yes. That's a technique when you just flip it over and chop it right off.
We may not know his technique, but we see his results.
So now now Sam starts getting angry at us, and because we're standing in his way.
We're making a lot of noise in the college room. They are studying. That's the reason.
Oh, that was his excuse for why we were having to stop, because they were making noise in the college dorm rooms during study time.
Right.
What sense does that make to anyone?
There's no dorms where he is, for one thing.
It was the student union, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just the most ridiculous thing. So for about 15 different reasons, we had to call it off yesterday. And we have Sam on the line. What was it that he said earlier this morning, that he said to Ralph Bean after the show yesterday?
Well, Sam, you may not remember this or not, but as you guys were packing up to leave at the end of the broadcast yesterday, Ralph tells us that you told him that women have been trying to bring men down since 9/11.
9/11?
Sam, is that accurate, Sam? Did you say that?
Sam?
Hello?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Sam, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you tell Ralph yesterday that women have been trying to bring men down since 9/11?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what does that even mean, since September 11th?
Not even September 11th, ever since women's liberation.
Women's liberation. Yeah.
So, did you say that because you thought that somehow the women are the reason your effort was thwarted yesterday?
Can I tell you, a guy came from USSR, communist pressure, he came over here. This is even worse in America.
What are you talking about?
You can't even smoke. You can't even drive. You can't
even
do nothing.
Sam, what are you talking about? You can't drive.
Camera. You are always in detected in cellular phone camera everywhere.
Okay, let me stop you there, Sam. Sam,
you're lying.
Let me stop you there. Just because a lot of people
tell you that what the reality is about this life, about
Sam.
This America life.
Sam,
right, I'll turn him down. Go ahead.
Listen. Yeah, but he won't hear me, though.
It doesn't matter.
Sam, listen. Just because a lot of people have cell phone cameras, why did that thwart your effort to do the haircutting record?
Well, I was there to do quantity, not quality.
Yeah, but again, there has to be a medium, you know, someplace in between, you know, sobbing.
Yeah,
and
in the rules, it does say style hair. You can't just hack off hair.
Excuse me, Lisa, may go to the basement. I'm talking.
Yeah, you can't send me to the basement, Sam.
Turns out that gives her a one free get out of jail card. Even. It goes the other way. Works the other way when you do it.
Sam, look, I don't want this to end ugly. We appreciate your effort. I think you made a valiant attempt. You did it to the best of your ability yesterday. You just have so little talent that it was difficult for you to keep up in the necessary manner. That's all.
I think it was also a commercial for hair, electric hair salon.
It was a commercial?
It was a commercial.
Dude, you spent the entire time ruining her customers. What kind of commercial is that?
Excuse me, it doesn't matter if I ruin the hair or I cut
it. Well, it kind of does.
It was a commercial for their
hair. It kind of matters that you ruined it.
Sam, how many hair salons do you think we had to choose from that were willing to let you cut hair in their place? We were pretty limited.
Can I say something? I want to do next time in my own hair salon.
Excellent.
You should set that up.
Excellent. Let us know how that goes.
You come and do in my hair salon.
No, you do
Nobody's
it.
Nobody's going to leave to cry out.
I'm not going to cut hair in your hair salon, Sam. But let us know how that goes. Seriously.
Set it up.
Get back in touch with us and tell us when you broke the record.
Why don't you come and do, I will call Genesis Book Records and then invite in my own hair salon.
Okay, you call them?
The same thing, and nobody's going to cry out.
Fantastic. So I think we're all agreed.
Call them right. And set it up, and we're on board.
You all call right. Genesis, and good luck getting into their book.
Why don't you set it up for me, man?
Nope. No, we did. Listen,
we did that.
We spent all week on that, dude.
I don't know how to do that. You guys have to set it up one day okay. in my own hair salon.
All right, listen, we're going to take care of that, and we'll get back to you.
Okay.
All right, bye. Well, that was easy.
Yeah, sure. Friday morning, that means Ralph is here with the movie beat. Hey, party people, there's about a dozen new movies in theaters this weekend for you to choose from. Some of them look quite interesting. Some of them are a film called Nomad, an historical epic set in 18th century Kazakhstan.
Borat?
No.
Mm.
So,
Nomad.
Those are your choices. Let's take a look at some of the bigger movies coming out this weekend, shall we? Dead Silence is your horror movie fix for the weekend.
That looks scary.
Comes from the creators of Saw. It's about a woman who was a ventriloquist, who was murdered along with her ventriloquist dummies and apparently comes back to life to start murdering herself.
I'm a ventriloquist dummy. I'm going to kill you.
Ventriloquist dummies are always scary.
Yeah, I've noticed along with little children with creepy voices,
yes.
Ventriloquist dummies do it for me. They wig me right the F out.
With those plastic fake
and the
faces.
Eyes just yep. sliding back Ooh. And forth. And the dog's going like this. Yeah, that's bad news. Did you ever see Magic, a movie with Anthony Hopkins where he plays a deranged serial
so.
Killing ventriloquist?
No, I don't think so.
Magic is fun. You're dead.
It's horrible. It's a horrible film. It's scary as hell.
Yeah, this looks scary.
What was that, forgive me for bringing this up if you don't know, but what was that Adrian Brody movie that he made a couple of years ago where he played like a creepy, socially maladjusted ventriloquist? This seems like the ventriloquists never get a good ride in the films.
That's Bean at krock.com.
Oh,
Bean
Dummy. It's called Dummy. That's Dummy. What it's called. Dummy was the name of the movie, yeah.
Well, I mean, Adrian Brody, big Oscar-winning star. You know, this was only a couple of years ago. Still another bad ventriloquist. This is another one of those movies starring Amber Valletta, the supermodel.
Ooh.
So maybe there'll be some nudity in it, too.
Yeah.
Gratuitous. I can always hope for that.
And Donnie Wahlberg, who gets up every morning and says, I cannot believe I'm not my brother. He plays the detective in this murder mystery story. Here's a little clip where Donnie Wahlberg's character, Detective Lipton, love his tea, by the way,
yeah,
is hearing the story of Mary Shaw, the ventriloquist woman who was attacked by the townspeople and comes back to wreak revenge along with her little wooden friends.
There's an old ghost story around here about a woman named Mary Shaw. She was buried with her doll collection. Now, the story goes, if you ever see her, make sure you never scream.
Or what? Or you end up without a tongue.
So cut your tongue right out.
Dude.
Because that's what the townspeople did to her.
So you just have to take it? You just have to be quiet? Then, then you're fine?
It hurts. Oh, it hurts. Oh. I do a lot of that. You know who's not going to see this movie?
I'm guessing you.
Besides me?
No.
Even less than me?
I don't know.
I don't know how you go less, not to a movie, but still. Dave the King of Mexico.
Really?
Wet in his pants. Just, you can't even talk to him about it.
Yeah.
And the best part is on their website for this movie, they've got one of those things like the monkey mail things where you can send send an email to somebody and it'd be like a ventriloquist dummy with their eyes rolling back and forth. So I sent Dave one and said, I'm coming for you, Dave.
Awesome.
He didn't think that was funny at all. But. Also opening this weekend, Premonition.
I'm sorry?
Lisa.
Premonition.
With Julian.
New film with Sandra Bullock and Julian McMahon, who we just talked to.
My boyfriend.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
He's funny. Mm-hmm. And I'm no Mo.
but he's pretty hunky.
Mm-hmm.
He is a good-looking dude. Yeah.
He plays Sandra Bullock's husband in this film. The two of them seemingly have a perfect life until she gets a vision from the future that her husband will die in a car wreck. And she starts flipping back between the present and the future, where he's dead, and then she wakes up the next morning, and he's alive, laying next to her, and she knows he's going to die a couple days from that point, and she thinks she's losing her mind.
Is Desmond from Lost somehow involved in crazy time traveling?
But apparently Sandra has to climb over a giant invisible fence in order to save her husband.
Yeah.
Here's Sandra Bullock in the film Premonition telling her shrink what's going on with her.
I wake up, and he's dead. I wake up, and he's alive. Different things around me all the time that I can't explain. Things that I've done. People talking to me. People who know me, but I have never met.
People like me?
Yes.
Obviously, you're dealing with some inconsistencies.
Well, yeah. I wake up every morning to find my husband has died again. I think that goes just a little beyond inconsistent.
Ooh. I'm in. I'm going to see this.
Are you?
Then she starts to get letters from the future from the same beach house where she's staying.
No, that's a different.
Turns out.
That's Keanu Reeves.
She goes in the mailbox and Keanu Reeves sends letters and says, your husband is going to die. Whoa.
No.
And then
no.
she gets scared and then confused. She's on a bus. And if the bus goes below 55.
Nope. That's speed.
No.
That's
her husband, blows up.
No.
You're confused,
and then
Ralph.
She enters this beauty pageant because she's undercover and she's trying to find the killer of her husband and she wins.
No.
That's that's totally different. There's a new Sandra Bullock film, Premonition.
Oh, well, that would have been a much better movie. I would have gone to see that. And lastly, Chris Rock is the star, writer, and director of a new movie this weekend called I Think I Love My Wife, about a married man who is tempted by all the smoking hot women around him in his life.
This one makes me nervous.
Because is Chris Rock starring, writing, and directing?
Yeah, because I think of Head of State. Head of State, remember, was the last one that comes to mind that he wrote, directed, and starred in.
Here's the thing. Yeah. I think Chris Rock, brilliant stand-up comedian.
I do, too.
Very talented. An actor, not so much. You can just see him acting from a mile away, usually, when he's working on these kind of projects. And the premise sounds promising, though.
Sure.
It's fresh, though. A married man who wants to have sex with other women? Where did he come up with that idea? That's original. Wait a minute. That's every married man in the world. Here's a little scene from I Think I Love My Wife, starring Chris Rock.
Chicken again? We have chicken every day. I'm tired of chicken.
I thought you liked chicken.
I feel like I got feathers coming out of my...
All right, this isn't about chicken, because I know you like chicken.
No. You know what this is about? This is about all the other animals out there that are dying to be eaten that we don't eat. Have you ever heard of lamb chops? Have you ever heard of pork chops?
Are you crazy?
I'm losing my finger licking mine right now. Chicken hawks don't eat this much chicken. You know what? I'm gone. I can't take it.
Where are you going?
To get some duck.
Well, that voice doesn't get annoying up high like that.
No, I could listen to that over and over again.
And it's realistic dialogue.
Oh, those blacks.
Oh, no, that's not appropriate.
What? Chris Rock co-stars with Gina Torres, who plays his wife, and who's just beautiful. She played the evil broad on Alias. Remember that Anna? Anna Rodriguez? Anna whoever it was? Yeah, she's his wife in that. Steve Buscemi co-stars.
Oh, he's good.
I think is always funny.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm tempted, and then I hear it, and then I'm not tempted. I'm torn is what I am.
Yeah.
I'm torn. But apparently he does have an affair with some smoking hot black chick, so...
Yes, I've seen her in the commercial.
Yeah,
she's
so
awesome looking.
So then I'm tempted again.
But then he's going out for duck.
Yeah, then I'm not tempted.
You're not tempted.
Yeah. So those are your choices this week, and I can't pick a favorite in this race.
How about one from last week?
How about one from last week?
If they haven't seen it yet, or one that's still...
Well, 300.
300, yeah, sure. Yeah. I can't imagine there's anyone left who hasn't seen that, but if you haven't,
that's
good.
That's a brilliant movie.
Black Snake Moan, I still recommend. I think it's a real strong film if you're interested in something a little bit different. But I'll tell you right now, and I've got a chance to see this already, I got the countdown calendar going for Blades of Glory. That's what I'm working towards.
That's the one?
The new Will Ferrell comedy. I'm telling you, it's one of the best movies of the year. Laughed my ass off. So we'll talk more about that as it gets closer. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. And the movie beat, too.
Yes, you do.
Cut, that's a wrap.
That was The Movie Beat with Ralph Garman on K-Rock.
Hey, when I say the word Scientology to you...
Tom Cruise!
You Exactly. Tom Cruise is who you come to. He is the face of the religion around the world. And every once in a while, you'll see a story where he tries to talk. It seems like he's trying to talk somebody else into Scientology. And it makes sense. He believes in it. He thinks it's done good for him. He's going to try to turn his friends onto it. So, you know, you saw last week there were reports that he was trying to get David Beckham and his wife, Posh Spice, to get into the Scientology because they're friends. And now there's a story that comes out that not only did he talk to, you know, obviously on the show, the Larry King Live show, he talked up Scientology, but he actually took Larry on a Scientology tour to learn more about the religion and took him to a very interesting place, I thought.
Well, yeah, it's the Scientology Hollywood Museum, and here's the title of it: Psychiatry, an Industry of Death. Does Tom know how to party or what?
They don't soft pedal it, do they?
No, they don't. Now, I know we've heard from Tom before, and he said that he doesn't think psychiatry is helpful. He says, you know, vitamins and exercise and water, that's what you need. But the the industry of death seems like you're overdoing it a little bit. So we thought, let's bring our friend Tom back on the air and find out what this is all about. Tom Cruise, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
I still love Katie.
That's right.
Well, yes, you do.
Yeah.
You know, Kevin and Bean, how are you?
You know, speaking of you still loving Katie, there is a new story in the tabloids about every single week of her saying she's fed up, you're not going to control her anymore. Is there any truth to any of that?
How dare you?
I'm just asking if
how
there's any...
How dare you bring that up?
Is there any truth in that?
And that you know that there's no truth to any of that.
I don't know that.
Yeah, we don't know.
You don't?
No.
Then Tom, there's definitely no truth to any of that.
One of the tabloids this week goes too far as to say, who will get Suri when Katie and Tom break up? You have any answer to that?
Yes, Tom.
Yes, Tom.
Tom,
go ahead, Tom. Tom. Tom, go ahead.
Don't be glib.
Okay.
Sir's not going anywhere. Katie's not going anywhere.
Wow, that's
neither of them are going anywhere.
That sounds like Tom. God.
Sounds like he means it.
That's how much we are in love.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about your friend Larry King. You went on his CNN show. You talked about Scientology, as you are wont to do in interviews. And then what happened with you and Mr. King afterwards?
We started talking about psychiatry. And he mentioned that he had taken some antidepressants. They worked for him.
Oh, yeah. Man. Did you go off?
I did. I said, you don't know about psychiatry. I've done the research, Larry King. I know about psychiatry. Psychiatry is an industry of death.
Do you have to say it that way?
Yes.
Do you really have a Hollywood museum called Psychiatry and Industry of Death?
Kevin.
Yes, Tom.
Don't be glib. You know I do. You know that we have a museum called Psychiatry. An industry of death!
All right, we have not been down there. Can you tell us anything about what's in the museum? And is it just more of what you say, which is vitamins, exercise, and water is all you need to feel good?
Did you know psychiatry has caused more deaths than street drugs?
What?
No, I don't, that doesn't sound right, Tom.
Did you know in some neighborhoods they're using street drugs as street drugs?
You're kidding.
Yeah,
I'm true. Wow. I was in all neighborhoods.
And we take you through the entire psychiatric process.
Okay.
The deadly psychiatric process.
So what's actually...
In the Museum of Death. It's as if you yourself are experiencing psychiatry.
Okay.
An industry of death!
What is inside that
When you
museum?
Enter the museum, the first thing that we force you to do is to meet your bloodthirsty, patiently listening therapist.
Ah! Ah! Why are they bloodthirsty?
Ah! Because they're patiently listening? That sounds awful.
Because it's an industry of death.
But why are they bloodthirsty?
Because they are.
All right.
Tom, and then the therapist makes you lie down on the luxuriously padded leather couch of lethal agony.
There's nothing wrong with laying on a couch and talking to a dude. But if it makes you feel better, what do you care if somebody lays on a couch and talks to a therapist?
Because once you lay on that couch,
yeah,
that therapist, that so-called therapist,
right,
makes you receive the significantly helpful, life-illuminating personal insights of torture!
Why does everything have to end in
screaming, gloom and doom?
Because psychiatry is an industry of death!
I'm not sure I understand.
And if the therapist's insights don't help you with your problems,
right,
sometimes they will prescribe remarkably effective but low side effect mood stabilizing medications
of hellfire!
I don't know what to do with this dude anymore.
Or perhaps they'll put you in an addiction recovery support group of malignancy!
I gotta visit that museum.
That sounds like fun. Thanks, Tom. But what is it? What museum? I can't remember.
It's psychiatry. An industry of death!
All right. Get out. See you later. Leave. Sorry. Get out. Get out.
Rock and roll stupid.
Shut up.
We're zany.
What is going on? No, no, no. Come on. We've got to be done. We have to be done by now. Come on. This is just getting get out of hand.
We have to pelt them with pennies to get them out of the studio.
Oh, my God.
Too many people. Part of the yelling, besides trying to see Alex's boobs, is that Baz Rutan is going to be here in about 15 minutes or so. He is the coach of the Los Angeles Anacondas in the International Fight League, the IFL, making their Southern California debut this weekend. And Mike is just beside himself with excitement over this. There's going to be some domination going on in here.
I think it's just the name Baz that gets Mike going. Because remember we had Baz Luhrmann in? Mike was all over excited. Him, kissing him and hugging him. I think he just likes Baz.
I banged him.
It's 9 o'clock on KRQFM Pasadena, Los Angeles. Ralph is here with our final showbiz beat of the week. Ralph, what are people talking about?
A lot of people are talking about this In Touch magazine list of the hottest blondes in Hollywood.
Bogus!
I did it early this morning. I'm getting just email after email of outrage.
You should be.
For those of you who weren't listening earlier, I'm going to recap it for you. The top 10 hottest blondes in Hollywood, according to In Touch magazine. Number 10, Gwen Stefani.
Fine.
I think Gwen's hot. I think Gwen's
hot. I think she's too. She's a total package, yeah.
Heidi Klum.
Fine.
Yeah.
Number 9 on the list. Now things go right off the rails. Number 8, Paris Hilton.
What?
I think she's more attractive than a lot of people do, but she's certainly nowhere near the top 10 of the hottest blondes in Hollywood. That's
no,
for sure.
Not even close.
Only reaching number 7 on the list is Scarlett Johansson.
Okay, right there.
Number 7 on the list.
You reveal how lame this list is. If she's not number 1 or number 2, maybe.
Would you like to know the 6 women that are considered hotter than she is?
Yes.
By In Touch magazine.
Wait to hear the person that's hotter than Scarlett Johansson.
Number 6, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh!
Based on what?
Well, I love
you can ride her to work. You can ride her to work as well as have her for your own.
But you could love her, but still admit that she's not beautiful in any classic sense of the word.
No, she is beauty in the classic sense of the word. She's a beautiful woman, but she's not hotter or sexier than Scarlett Johansson or Heidi Klum or some of those other people.
She shouldn't be in the top 100.
She would have been hot in the 15th century. Doesn't mean she's hot now.
Not in my top 100.
She's probably in my top 10 of hotties.
No.
I understand for this list that she's overrated.
Number 5, Pamela Anderson.
Sure.
Pamela Anderson, number 5.
Nothing wrong with
her. Still consistently one of the hottest women in the world, year in, year out.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
She doesn't seem to age. It's very odd. Speaking of age, number 4, Hayden Panettiere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
17.
Watch it, Mike. Steady, Mike.
17 years old today.
We don't want Chris Hansen busting in on us.
She's the cheerleader.
Yeah.
You save her, you save the world.
I hear that.
I'm dying without my heroes, by the way. It doesn't come out until the end of April.
I know.
And I'm losing my freaking mind. I was almost going to watch Lost. That's how much I miss
Lost.
But then I said, wait a minute. I had splashed some cold water in my face, and I realized it was a flashback about Jack's dad again.
It was also a Claire flashback, and it has gotten better since you jumped ship, Ralph. Mm. I will tell you are missing better episodes than the ones you sat through earlier
in the season.
The ship
is sinking less quickly now, Ralph, since you got into the lifeboat. Yeah, I still don't want to get on a sinking ship, though.
They could turn it around.
It's not sinking. They could turn around. They could get all the water out and right the ship.
No. I've seen Titanic. I know how this movie ends. Number 3 on the list, Kate Hudson.
No.
Kate Hudson.
She's cute. Right. She's on the cute list.
You know, and her personality makes her adorable. When you watch her in those romantic comedies and stuff, you're like, oh, she's so adorable.
But isn't the cute, adorable list different than the hot list?
I would think.
To me, it is.
Kevin's going to lose his mind on number 2. Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, come on. What is this, girls that look like dudes?
She doesn't look like a dude.
What is wrong with you?
Not duty.
She's very pretty.
She's that much prettier than Pamela Anderson.
No, I'm not saying
she's Scott Johansson.
I'm not saying
she's number 2 on the list. No.
Well, that's wrong. That's wrong. I agree with you.
She's not in the top 10. Even if you find her hot, she's not in the top 10.
But she doesn't look like a dude is what we're saying.
Yeah. I'm not saying she does, but
Well, that's what we're addressing.
I know.
I think you're missing the point.
But you're wrong.
Number one on the list, Christina Aguilera.
Nope. No.
Well, she's pretty hot.
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
She's got just a raw sexuality about her that really carries a lot of weight with
she
me.
She does.
She's
got a
banging body, too.
Did you say banging body?
Does she prince?
Yeah, she's got a banging body. But she's not hotter than Scarlett Johansson
she's
because
Sly
no one
Stone.
Is.
A banging body.
Where's Knightley?
Yeah, where's Keira Knightley? Well, she's not really a blonde.
She's not
officially.
Anyway.
Where's Charlize Theron, Mother Effron? Exactly.
That's what I want to know.
That's the one that's missing.
She should be in the top two.
Where's everyone that's not Gwyneth Paltrow?
That's true. Where are all those women?
How dare you?
So as you can see,
bananas.
This list is just going to just foster so many arguments at the water cooler
well,
today.
Well, it's an awful list.
That's what I'm saying. Do people still go to the water cooler?
No.
They don't?
No. I don't. No such all thing.
Right. No.
Simon? Nope. Not,
she's not
on
the list at all. Simon Cowell will be on 60 Minutes this weekend if you're interested.
Yes.
Should be an interesting interview, actually.
Why?
Because I think this guy is a huge powerhouse now in the entertainment industry, and I'd like to get a view of him beyond
the
image
shirt
that he plays on American Idol, that sort of grumpy judge guy. I'd like to hear more about his businesses and how his effect on the actual.
You want to see him in other
records and stuff?
Really, really tight shirts.
I don't care about his shirts.
All right.
I want to hear what he has to say. He argues that he's worth more to Sony, BMG, the music company.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks he's worth more to them than Bruce Springsteen is.
Today?
Yes, right now.
I
sold more records, probably.
Yeah, I would say so. Wouldn't you? Today. I mean,
more,
not in his heyday.
He's more valuable to the record label than Bruce Springsteen. I sell more records than Bruce Springsteen, he said. I probably sold over 100 million records.
I mean, I think you get... I mean, it depends what he's talking about. If you're talking about, you know, credibility, I think Sony would rather have artists like Bruce Springsteen than wondering about Fantasia's next album. But in terms of the bottom line, money brought into the company, yeah, Simon's probably pulling more than his share.
Well, he was referring to the fact that Springsteen recently got a new contract with Sony for $100 million.
Oh, and he wanted the same.
He said, if Springsteen's worth $100 million, I should have gotten $500 million.
He's just basing that on what kind of...
That he sells more records,
criteria.
That he's more important, all that right. He carries more weight. So Simon apparently likes him some Simon.
I don't think some people may not realize that this American Idol is not just a U.S. show, too. It's in dozens of countries around the world, and has a piece of all of them, right? And he signs all of those bands to that label around the world.
I mean, he really
brings in the money.
And he's got his own artists, too, that Il Divo group, those five dudes
who sing popular music
in the sort of operatic form.
That looks like the worst idea ever.
Those guys sound great, though.
Do
they're
they?
Really talented, yeah.
Oof.
I hate to say this, but I saw them open for Barbra Streisand.
That's the second gayest thing that's ever been said on our show.
I know. But I felt in the thought of open communication.
Second gayest thing ever said.
I needed to say it.
Can we bring Boss Rutan in now just to kind of diffuse that comment here in the room?
And Simon Cowell also cut the Teletubbies album.
Yeah,
he was
responsible for that.
It was his idea, the Teletubbies.
Bitch. Yeah. So. I hope they give him a good tongue lashing on 60 Minutes for that.
That's what she said.
Word.
Shut up.
Comedian Sinbad's alive and well. For all you people who were panicked when you read the internet today thinking Sinbad was dead, he's fine.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Richard Pryor still did?
Sinbad's career would be in better shape if he had died.
Yeah.
He would be more popular.
Not according to the commercial I heard for his stand-up comedy. Best stand-up alive today.
Wow.
Sinbad.
Well, that's saying something.
Yeah.
Look at the time. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I was rattling on, so we got to move on. We got a guest to talk about.
Yeah.
So I'm going
to
cut this short because it's Friday, and I'm going home. Today's celebrity birthday is Jerry Lewis, legendary comedian, is 81 years old today. You know, we make fun of Jerry from time to time.
No, we don't.
But I got his, as a gift, I got a box set of some of his films, his early films from the 60s and stuff.
Yeah.
Funny dude.
Sure.
Very funny guy.
That's what we've been told to say. That is what we've been told to say.
Did you get that for me, Bean?
I did.
Oh, so I knew someone gave it to me. I've been watching those movies. They're really funny.
We are forced by our lawyers to give each other that gift every Christmas.
That's right. I've got a case of them sitting at home. I just hand out randomly to people.
All right, here's yours. Here's yours.
Chuck Woolery, game show host. You remember The Love Connection, don't you?
Of course. We'll be back in 2 and 2.
He's 66 years old today. We'll be back in 6 and 6. Victor Garber, who was Jack Bristow on Alias. I ran into him at the opening night at Wicked at the Pantages.
Uh-huh. Really? Hadn't mentioned that.
Yeah. Jeez, I brought up Wicked and Barbra Streisand in the same show.
Yeah, well, you need to go kill yourself.
He's 58 years old today. Eric Estrada also turns 58. He was, of course, Ponch on Chips. Lauren Graham from the Gilmore Girls turns 40 years old today. And Flava Flav from Public Enemy and, of course, from the Surreal Life and, most importantly, Flava of Love.
Best show ever.
48 years old today. 48
years old. One time for your man. Everybody up in the house. One time. Let me hear you say Flavor Flav.
A lot of grandkids Flava has.
200.
200 grandchildren.
Yeah.
Yes, Bean? I heard the breath come in. I usually know there's something after
no,
that.
No, not a thing.
Just him heavy breathing,
then just
apparently.
Just back away from the microphone. You're just freaking us out, perv. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with Bean.
You are out of your mind.
Absolutely. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
That's what my wife tells me.
All right. First of all, everybody got to keep an eye on Boss. You got to look him in the eye at all times. Do not look away from him during the interview because he'll do bad things
to you.
No,
I think he's talking about if you're going to be a bouncer. Right?
I'm just saying, I saw him on YouTube yesterday. Anyone who doesn't look directly at him gets it. Gets it bad with a bottle over the head. So just be careful.
I don't like people eyeballing me.
Well, Boss, this is interesting to me because I remember what the curve was on the WWF at the time, the WWF. It took a while, and then all of a sudden it became huge and everybody knew it. And then I saw the same thing happen again with the UFC, and it took a little less time. And now it seems like out of nowhere, and I don't know how long the IFL has been around, the International Fight League, but it seems like you guys have blown up seemingly overnight. What's the journey been like for you?
It's been an amazing journey. I mean, they got all the top fighters in the world who used to be fighters. Some of them are still fighting, and they made them coaches. And all those coaches, they put teams together with five guys on each team, five different weight classes, and we compete against another team. So it's the coaches who stopped fighting now actually can keep on fighting. They put their technique in those guys that they have, in the boys that they have, and then they compete against
each
other.
So you're the Los Angeles Anacondas?
Yes.
Okay. And there's five guys that are from this area. Is that how you pick them or no?
No.
It's like a professional league? Where...
Yeah, it's a professional league. I have two guys from Canada.
You do?
Two from Las Vegas, and one comes from the East Coast. So it's all spread out over the line.
So none of them are from here. Yeah. That's what's good.
None of them.
How long has there been an IFL?
It started at the end of 2005. Okay. So it's been two seasons, one a very short season. 2006 was the first real season. We had four teams at the moment. Now we got 12 teams. It's all over the world.
12?
Even Canada and Tokyo.
And this is what I'm saying. Here in a relatively short time for a new sport, you're already playing places like the Forum and you're on television, you know, on a real channel. I mean, this is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, Kurt Otto and Garib Sheamus, I mean, they do a phenomenal job. I mean, they promote their best out of it. And it's all over the place. Look, we're on the radio right now. It's on TV. It's everywhere. And my network TV right now, that makes this sport is going to make it real big. It's on Monday nights.
That's Channel 13.
Channel 13 right here.
Los Angeles. So you have five members of your team, and then you play another city. For example, tomorrow night at the Forum, you guys are doing the thing at 7:30. Who do you play tomorrow night?
Tomorrow we fight Frank Shamrock's Razor Claws. And it's kind of a cool concept because I used to fight Frank also back in the days in Pancras in Japan.
Okay. In the Japanese league, right?
That was single fight. You were fighting solo. So right now, this is the first team-based company on the planet, yeah.
That's, okay. That's a unique idea. It's not tag team. You have five separate matches and five separate weights, right? And then the total points wins.
Yeah, whoever wins three out of five, of course, or more, he's going to advance to the next round. And then at the end, we got the playoffs also. We got the individuals. Like, for instance, I have this little kid. He's the youngest kid on the team, on the whole IFL. Mm-hmm. He's 19 years old, and he's undefeated. I mean, he's the best fighter there is. And he's 8-0 now with six knockouts. He will probably go to the All-Star and see if he can get
an individual. So there's going to be an All-Star. There's going to be playoffs. Is there a Super Bowl-esque
fight? Hey, let's hope. You know, they're working on it. We have the people from the Super Bowl doing the production, so we got real good production.
Wow.
Boss, I know it's a mixed martial arts, but what for folks who maybe don't follow the sports like this, what is involved in each match? What are you allowed to do and not do?
I think it's easier to say what can you not do. It's like kicking in the groin, back of the neck, back of the kicking in the spine, no biting, eye gouging, all those kind of things.
No biting?
Rest,
come on.
Now, you see, after Mike Tyson, they had a big problem with that.
Kevin thinks you're a pussy for making that rule.
No, I'm fine with it. I'm good.
I didn't make the rules. So.
Well, this looks like it's fascinating. When is the TV show? It's only on Monday nights, did you say?
No, Monday nights we have My Network TV, and I'm going to start hosting this
My
together
network.
With My Network TV with Tiffany Fallon. It's going to start in about
the Playmate.
2 weeks. Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, I asked for a looker, but
nice.
They gave me her. And then on FSN, you got to check it out. Well, it's tonight on FSN, so you got to check your local listings, what time it is. But there you will see us facing the Silverbacks. They were the champions.
Okay.
And until, of course, they meet the Anacondas.
Of course.
Boom. All right.
Okay. And tomorrow night, St. Patrick's Day at the Forum in Los Angeles. Tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster, and that's to see the Anacondas, your club, versus the Razor Claws from San Jose. And is this also on the same bill as Tokyo versus the Southern California Condors?
Yes, absolutely. It's going
to
be
that's a lot of fighting.
It's going to be a great night. 10 fights, 10 explosive fights. And I was looking yesterday at the card, and I truly believe that this could be the show from the IFL. I mean, all the fights are very competitive.
Fantastic.
How long does a fight last?
It's 3 rounds of 4 minutes. We took a little bit away from the rounds. Normally it's 3 rounds of 5 minutes. We took 1 minute away, which makes for a little bit more explosive fighting.
Right.
Because deep down inside, in their minds, the fighters actually think, wait a minute, it's 1 minute less. I can throw more energy out. So, and that's what
it's not true, though, is it, really?
No, it's not. I mean, I can put you on a bag for 30 seconds and you fall on the ground afterwards.
Yep. Yeah.
I always tell people that I just tried to learn kickboxing at one point, and 1 minute is an eternity.
It's an hour, right?
It just seems like it's a day. It's crazy how long it feels.
It's even worse in the ring.
I imagine.
And especially when you're going down slowly but surely, and the guy, you know, he keeps coming, then a minute. It's going to be very long.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Boss Rutten is in the studio here, the coach of the Los Angeles Anacondas. Do we take a break here and then come back? Because then I think Lisa's going to kick his ass, I think is what I understand is happening.
Green belt.
She is a green belt.
I'm a green belt.
So, you know. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Boss Rutten's in the studio with us talking about the International Fight League, which is tomorrow at Forum.
You can get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. You know, Psycho Mike, who, boss, you've never met before this morning, he loves to dominate. I mean, that's his thing, is how can I dominate? He's never been more aroused than he is right now. He's practically poking Kevin in the back of his neck with
We've
that
thing. We've had hot chicks in here. He doesn't care.
I wore extra pairs of underwear, knowing that Mr. Rutten was coming in today.
Of course you did.
I've already saturated right through him. Just gone.
Go away.
Mike was the guy who told us about the IFL, and even before we knew you were going to be coming in as a guest, he was telling us about what are the videos that you love from Boss? What's the stuff you love from him that you see online, Mike?
Boss has a series of videos on technique and training for fighting, and a lot of them take place within like a bar. Boss has experience as a bouncer, and he does a great job of reenacting some, you know, scenes of a fight that might go on in a bar. He's a very entertaining guy, very charismatic guy. He just does a great job of bringing it to life.
Listen, I was sitting at the lounge for United, and suddenly 5 guys, they stand up, and they walk to me, and they're all eyeballing me, so I get up.
Mm-hmm.
I think something's going to go down. And so what's going on? And they were air marshals. They all flipped that DVD out, and they said, could you sign these things?
Is that right?
Yeah, it was a sign. Oh,
all the air marshals had it. Yep. That's awesome. So you didn't have to fight them then. That was cool.
Yeah, cool for them.
Let's take a quick call. Ron in Downey is on the phone. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning.
Hi there. You have a question for Boss?
Yeah. Hey, Boss. I wanted to know what you felt was about Frank's actions against Henzo Gracie with the knees on the head on the ground, and if you wanted to fight him again.
Well, it's illegal, you know. First of all, you cannot hit the back of the neck, even punch. And second of all, it was a knee to the back of the head. So with him saying, I thought we were fighting, I would say, okay, let's turn this around. Let's say that Henzo Gracie would have kicked him in the groin as hard as he could. And he goes down and he said, oh, I thought we were fighting. So now that kicking in the groin and kneeing the back of the head and hitting the back of the head is all on the same list as things that are illegal. So it wasn't right.
Thank you for the call. We were talking during the song about the difference between boxing and mixed martial arts. And you were saying that boxing is actually much more dangerous.
Way more dangerous. Everything is focused on the head. You know, 70, 75% of the punches land on the head. The biggest difference is the 8 count. Once somebody gets hit and your legs start to wobble, that is your body telling you, listen, I want to stop. You know, I don't want to get anymore.
I don't want to get hit anymore, right.
And they send you back to the corner, get you a little bit more rest, and then they, boom, you let you go out to get some more. And I think that's killing brain cells. And you don't have that in mixed martial arts. Once they see you cannot defend yourself anymore, they stop the fight right away.
Immediately. Yeah. Are there questions from the fighters of, wait a minute, I wasn't, because that's a fine line to walk.
It's a fine line, but you know what? It's all about the safety of the fighters. And I can tell you another thing. If somebody takes somebody down and he's on top of him, they call it the mount position, and he starts hitting him in the head.
Mm-hmm.
Once he starts hitting him in the head and he doesn't block two or three punches, they slip through. Even before he's going to be knocked out, the referee will push, pull him off.
Wow.
He's got to, just to be safe.
Did you have trouble getting sanctioned for fights in California? Because I understand we have some fairly strict rules compared to, say, Nevada, where everything goes.
Yeah, when I was fighting, when I was competing myself in the UFC, that was a long time ago. At that moment, it was only three states they allowed it, like Alabama, New Orleans, and some other state. But right now, it's all regulated, you know, there are rules.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually pretty safe. It looks very intense, but it's not as intense as people think.
It looks way worse than boxing, for example. That's why I brought that up, because boxing seems like it's pussy
not.
Sport comparatively, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely, but it's not. I'm telling you, it's way worse. Look at how many people die in boxing. It's 25, 27 a year, the average.
Wow.
Haven't happened yet.
Boss's Los Angeles Anacondas tomorrow night versus the San Jose Razor Claws. Also, the Tokyo Sabres versus the Southern California Condors. That's all going to be at the Forum. Tickets through Ticketmaster or IFL.TV is the website. Do you ever... first of all, you have ring girls, by the way?
Of course we got ring girls. Hey,
nice.
I'm in. Cornerstone of the IFL.
Are you ever tempted, because you come from the fighting, are you ever tempted to go back into it because you're around it so much?
You know, I was retired for 7 years, and I made a comeback last July last year, and but in the process of training, 6 weeks before I start, I messed my knee up again, rotator cuff, meniscus, and I kept shutting it down with cortisone. So I fought my fight, I won it. I gave him like four low kicks, and he couldn't walk anymore. But and now, right now, you know, it's payback.
Yeah. So now you're living
you're
with
feeling
that.
It, right?
Let's take a call from Alexis in Tahunga. Good morning, Alexis.
Hello. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks.
All right, boss. I want to know how I can be the next Gina Carano.
Wow. Well, you got to train really hard because are you that good looking too or not?
I'm sorry.
Are you that good looking too? Because that's a good combination. No, she trains really hard, and she's a very good Thai boxer, and she has the potential to become a superstar. She already is. I mean, the last time that they had that show, I think that she stole the show.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mike was asking you during the commercial break as well, how does a fighter who thinks they might have a chance to get into this train, where do you start? Where do you go?
You know, I would always say, if you want to do mixed martial arts right away, and especially nowadays, you know, these days and age, you got to start with three minimum, like boxing, wrestling, and I would do submissions right away. Now, if you have to pick two, I would say boxing and wrestling, because if you're a good boxer, your opponent cannot take you to the ground,
right?
You know, and then you're always in control. But then you might face also a good wrestler who knows the submission game. Now, and if he can't take you down and you don't know any submissions, you see what I mean? You need to know it all.
Do you have auditions from time to time where you look for new talent?
No, I'm very fortunate that pretty much all the fighters know me, and I get phone calls all day long. They want to be on my team, and I'm very good in scouting. And when I see talent, you know, I'll talk to the guy, call him up, and I try to transform him in a super fighter.
All right, International Fight League Southern California debut is tomorrow night, 7:30 at the Forum. Again, tickets are available at Ticketmaster outlets, and the IFL airs Fridays. That's tonight at 11 o'clock on Fox Sports, and IFL Battleground airs Mondays at 8 on My Network, which is Channel 13, and that's hosted by you and Playmate.
Yes, very beautiful. Right, and before we go out, I'm going to get off, I want to say happy birthday to my assistant coach, Sean Tompkins. And tomorrow, my little girl, 5-year-old, is going to be her birthday. So, aww. Bianca, happy birthday to you, honey.
Oh, I feel sorry for any guy that asks out your daughters ever.
You're right.
Ever, ever.
Their parents.
Boss, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate it. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ.
Let's go home, boys and girls.
Have a great weekend, everybody. So long. Bye-bye.
Come on,
Kevin.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to all my Irish friends out there.
Not yet.
Kevin, the show's not going to get any better because of these calls.
These calls
peaked. We're done.
Horrible.
We're done. Come on.
All right, I'm going to tell you who's on hold, and then you tell me if you want to talk to anyone.
We'll take votes.
All right.
Okay.
Mario.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Calling about an NBA player that tells kids to do drugs. Anton saw Dead Silence and has a review. Ryan says he saw his elementary school principal naked at the gym.
All right, hold on.
Well,
now
male
I'm
or
interested.
Female?
Oh, yeah, good
That
point.
Would be the question.
So we need to take that call. That's what I'm saying. Line three.
All right. Okay. All right.
Let's try a couple. 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin Means What to Do Nephew. Get on the air, get a prize, a pair of lift tickets to join K-Rock this weekend at Bear Mountain. Bear Mountain, guys, now has 182 park features available.
Oh.
Ryan, this better be good because we're not on vacation because of you.
Go.
Okay. Well, pretty much, like, I go to the gym every day.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And so in the locker room, there's always dudes walking around naked and stuff.
I hate
and
those dudes.
I do, too. Those dudes seem to love to just walk around and let it all hang out.
Do they think they're hot?
I don't mind if you're going from the locker to the shower or the shower to the locker. I understand that. But don't shave or blow dry your hair or something just all dangling.
Seems like guys just hang out and walk around and think of things to do so they can be naked in the locker room.
Having conversations and stuff. Yes. Go about your business.
Well, this old guy, you know, he's standing right behind me, shaving his stuff, you know?
Yeah. No way.
Really?
Swear to God. People do that at the gym now.
But that's personal business. You do it in the shower.
Yeah, well, not at this gym.
He was shaving himself down there? He's shaving his ball throw?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And so I'm trying not to look, but for some reason, like, this guy seems so familiar. And he turns around, and it's my elementary school principal.
Oh,
nice. And he said, want to get a look at this? No?
I didn't know what to say. I was shocked. I just kind of ran away.
You turned and ran.
That lends a whole new meaning of going to the principal's office.
That's yes, it does.
Yeah.
Wow, that's not what you want to see ever.
No.
I'm a firm believer in manscaping. We've had this conversation many times, and I spend a great deal of time, you know, manicuring that area. But you got to do it in the shower. Do it in private. Don't do it out in public.
Really, nobody else needs to see that.
Yeah, no one. Right, exactly. Yeah. All right, Ryan, that was a
pretty process. It's not a pretty process at all.
That was a good
call. Hey, let's talk to Chris in L.A. This is a complaint I have not heard often before, and I want to find out where Chris is coming from.
Chris, hi.
Hey, what did you do, nephew?
What did you do, nephew?
I wanted to complain about funeral processions on the freeway. They need to stay off the freeway and stay on the streets.
Funeral procession. What if it's a long way to drive?
Dead people.
But they don't have to stop at the intersections, right? They get the police escort that stops all the traffic.
Right. Don't they usually just stay in the right lane on the freeway, though?
Yeah, but they were blocking all the on-ramps, so people, you know, started arguing through the windows.
They do that. They do shut off on-ramps when they're going down.
Chris, haven't the people in the funeral procession already lost enough? Is it going to kill you to give them 3 minutes to get past you? I mean, really?
You know, the guy's dead already. It's not like he's in a hurry, right?
Well, no.
It's not for him.
His widow and his parents or whoever else, his kids, I mean, they are having a rough day. Why not give them a little bit of courtesy?
And they'd be inconveniencing a lot more people by closing off intersection after intersection after intersection.
Well, you know, most of the time they do it during, I don't know, it's just on the freeway you're supposed to go fast. Maybe they could go more than 10 miles an hour on the freeway.
Well, that might help, sure.
They should race.
Floors,
one of the cemetery wins.
You don't want to lose Uncle Elmo in the back there, you know? You gotta stay in sight.
Chris, I think you're going to have to just bite the bullet on this one and just kind of hang in there and let them have their
time. And it doesn't happen that often. Come on.
It doesn't. Or get a paintball gun and really have some fun with it as they go by.
That might be a good idea.
Yeah, sure. We're going to see this guy in the news tonight.
Yeah,
great.
Exactly.
Great.
I like David in Garden Grove. Another excellent call.
Now Bean's just going to call.
I'm just saying we actually
in the whole process.
No. I want to get out of here too, but David has something intriguing.
I can tell how desperate you are to leave.
Hey, David.
Yeah, I'm still here, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Good work, Bean.
What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew?
What?
Huh? Say again.
Oh, I heard this urban legend about the president and text messaging. I heard that if you text message, kill the president to any phone, anywhere, anytime, your SIM card and your phone will, like, automatically shut off.
Okay, that is not true.
No.
Why would that happen? You mean, like, the Secret Service would shut it off or something?
I don't know. It's just something that I heard at school at OCC.
I'm
going to go out on a limb here and say it is true.
No, it sounds not to me true. Like your friend is confused in that, if you sent me an email that had the words kill the president, I wouldn't be at all surprised to have the Secret Service show up and want to chat with you because they scan for stuff like that. I mean, that's the most serious threat you can make in this country. You're more likely to be visited by the Secret Service if you say kill the president than you say I'm going to blow up New York City. I mean, they really have a...
By the way, Bean has used all of those words now. Bean at krock.com.
I can give you directions to the island if you need it. Officer Jones.
The hell's going on?
So, what I'm saying is it doesn't blow up your SIM card. There's nothing, there's no default
what
in the SIM card.
What if you text, sprain the president's ankle?
Ooh, that's a good one.
You know, do they show up then? How rough do you have to get, really, to get their attention?
Do you want
to
find out?
Give the president a hangnail?
I don't want to find out.
Make him cranky?
Is that what you
want
to do?
The president cranky?
You want to find out?
I don't want to
Shall
find out.
Shall we
curious.
End there, ladies and gentlemen?
Yes, we shall.
All right. Thank you for listening, and thanks to all of our guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today, including Julian McMahon. His new film opens everywhere today. It is called Premonition. Also, how about my new best friend, Richard Smalley, the tourism marketing manager of the Kansas Department of Commerce and Tourism? How about...
Okay. I want to thank...
Got on the air. I really can't believe it got on the air.
Yeah, I know.
Comedian and impressionist Frank Caliendo is going to be at the Irvine Improv with two big shows tonight, three on Saturday night and one on Sunday night. Go to frankcaliendo.com, or you can buy your tickets by calling 949-854-5455. And, of course, thanks to our most recent guest, from the our friend Boz from the
IFL.
International Fighting League.
Yes.
Please enjoy.
Now we're done. Now that means we're done.
Yes, it does.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Yay.
Drink up. See you drink boxing tomorrow.
Don't bogart the joint, my friend.
E-hole.
Pass it over to me.
Drink boxing, that's the one where Sam cuts your hair?
Yes.
Don't bogart the joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Mohinder?
Roll another one.
Top of the Martin today.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
Corbett is coming up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. No problem watching Cat Shave, though. That's fine, right?
Oh, all good. Yeah. That's
okay.
Good stuff.
STP, The Shins, Foo Fighters, AFI, and so much more straight ahead on good old K-Rock.
Roll another one.
Cow?
Just like the other one.
What?
This one seems to be about. So don't bogart that joint.
Won't you please pass
it around?
Hey, wait a minute, man.
So don't bogart that joint, my friend. I just pass it on down.
Pass it on down. Fergie.
This brutal ordeal is now officially over, and I will never speak of it again.
Come on now, say goodbye to the kids.
Huh? Oh. Goodbye, kids.
I know you're tired. I know you're hurting. And I wish I could say something that was classy and inspirational. But that just wouldn't be our style. Pain heals. Chicks dig scars. Glory lasts forever.
Dude, where's my office? I totally lost it. Because I was half-baked, smoking doobies. Doobie Brothers, I was smoking doobies with my brothers. Peace out, see you, Crest.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.